Ladies and gentlemen, the World Wide Web proudly presents... Recorded live in Chicagoland, USA.
Unmoisten my nipples.
A new episode of the podcast, Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport. With your hosts, Luke Ski and Carrie Dalby.
Everything's a song. Welcome, song. Everybody. Song. Welcome, everybody, to Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport, episode number 61, on March 28th, 2012.
And we're actually going to make an attempt to do a somewhat normal episode of the show, which we haven't done in a very long time.
But so. My baby Alex is here, so we'll see how well that actually works.
Yes.
Comments go at the beginning of the show.
Yay! And
Bill Putt just had an orgasm.
Yes, because we have like three episodes worth of comments that we haven't read. So we'll start by reading through all of the texty ones, and then we'll put in all of the audio ones.
Okay.
So, okay. Episode 58, No Genocide for Me, Onib says, and now an unrequested addition to You Do the Research. The pipe organ forte in Beauty and the Beast, The Enchanted Christmas, was actually voiced by Tim Curry.
That's true.
Frollo from The Hunchback of Notre Dame was voiced by Tony Jay, who had also voiced Monsieur d'Arc in Beauty and the Beast, the guy that ran the asylum.
Monsieur. Isn't it?
Monsieur,
it's...
Is it
Monsieur? It's French.
Yeah, but so Monsieur is pronounced Monsieur?
That's how it's usually pronounced by English speakers, yes, monsieur.
Okay, well, I didn't know that.
But as far as how it's properly pronounced in French, I'd have to get back to you, but you don't pronounce the N.
And there you have it. Thanks for another great episode. Yeah, I guess I got that those lines crossed in my head, because at some point I knew that Tim Curry was that guy, but I, in my mind, replaced him with the other guy, who was also the voice of Judge Claude Frollo in Hunchback of Notre Dame. So anyway, yeah, you want to read the next one?
Yes.
As soon as you're done
I was just
checking
seeing
your...
how much active insulin I have. Okay. Thomas E. Reed says, Luke and Carrie, your discussion of what I wanted to be was an amazing exercise. One of the first people I wanted to be as a kid was a lawyer, because I used to watch Perry Mason on TV. I thought all lawyers were well-dressed, drove neat cars, and easily solved people's legal problems within an hour. Ridiculous, huh? Well, several jobs down and currently looking for a new job, I realized that I have to do what I love outside of a job. It'd be nice to make money doing what you love, but very few are that lucky. You and Carrie are lucky to be able to create great comedy and storytelling and at least kind of break even while doing it. Well, Luke kind of breaks even. I don't. I guess technically I kind of break even. Thanks. Luke actually kind of makes a small profit. Thanks for your usual great podcast and opening up your lives to the public. It takes something special to let your souls be exposed to psychotic freaks like us on a regular basis. Thanks. And by the way, Carrie, I still say you look terrific. Please don't make Luke record Bad Rapport while you're undergoing labor.
We didn't.
Buffy loves me sitting in this chair. All of a sudden it's like she has Mama back.
Mama's back.
Just because I'm in this chair.
Good Lord, Mama's back. I want a love and attention from Mama.
We're at my house in Lombard, as you probably figured out.
Yes. Wildcard says, yay that I got mentioned on the Dr. Demento show, even though I am behind on it and haven't heard that show yet. I need to request the song again. Great show this week. Since I was unable to get my dream job as a comic book writer or artist, I settled for my next choice, computer programmer, although I spent most of the last 15 years doing software testing more than programming. I will miss you and Alex at MarsCon this year. Oh, and Josh, too.
Hi, Buffy. Bar One Scorpio says... Ow, Buffy. Ow.
Hey, you want me to take her?
Claws hurt bear skin. Bar One Scorpio says, stupid pregnancy is strange. As Carrie's due date nears, that pops up in my head more and more, and I'm wondering if there are any new verses soon to be written. Ow. I already got a baby to hurt my boobs. I don't need a cat to hurt it, too. She was climbing all over me while I'm wearing a low-cut shirt and scratching me. Anyways, I don't know if I'm going to write more verses or not. Everybody sing along. Labor pains are wog! Okay, scratch that. Let's just skip to the verse where the epidural kicks in. Just wondering why nobody's done a cover of LMFAO's Party Rock Anthem for September 19th. Party Rock. Pirate Rock. Every day I'm shuffling. Every day swashbuckling. Practically writes itself. Okay, write it then.
Yeah.
And when October rolls around, Carrie can redo her song as how do you say that?
Lycanthropy is strange. Which basically means becoming a werewolf.
Ah, which I suppose it is. Meanwhile, good luck with MarsCon. I should be out in the Minnesota area myself soon, but not in time for that one. When I travel out of state, I tend to only be able to do the conventions I can get a table at. Will you be doing PenguinCon this year?
I will be. And
Tom Smith, officially?
Yeah, Tom Smith will also be, but I think we are the two sole fumpers that are going to be there, as far as I know.
Or are you kind of going to give up on Michigan altogether? Well, he just answered your question. Since this began with commenting on Valentine's Day, allow me to recite a poem. Roses are red, violets are blue. Looks like I picked the wrong week to quit sniffing glue. Quoting Airplane.
Comment continues on the next page.
Man, save Tintin, every single animated movie you just mentioned was horrible. I didn't see any of them.
Okay, yeah, I was going to put a big pause right there. Bar one Scorpio.
Wait, the statement
you just made is so damn wrong.
Contradictory.
Yes.
They're horrible, but I didn't see them.
Yeah, it's every single anime movie you just mentioned was horrible. I didn't see any of them. Well, if you didn't see them, then you don't really have the right to say they were horrible.
So you
can say, I saw the previews or commercials for them, and they looked like they were going to be horrible, so I chose not to see them. But you can't, in fairness, say that the movies were horrible if you did not see them, you know?
Yeah.
So there.
I'm trying to think of another animated movie that came out last year that I liked, but I didn't see very many.
It reminds me of
Arthur Christmas sounded good. I just didn't actually see it.
See, Sarah really liked Arthur Christmas, and she thought that the commercials and previews for it weren't doing it justice because she had no idea what the movie was really about other than it being a cute Christmas movie, you know, and she really enjoyed it. So, you know.
Anyways, soapbox mode off. I didn't see any of them, and I can't even stand to look at the commercials of Polar Express for more than a few seconds. Tintin, thankfully, only really had that uncanny valley problem with the opera singer, who looked like less of a CGI construct and more of a woman in a weird rubber mask. That's how I felt about Tintin himself, personally. So, Luke, what are your thoughts on the epic rap battles of history videos?
The ones I've seen seem good.
If you like epic rap battles of history, you should listen to the Toad Elevating Moment on Dementia Radio, because they play them all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And why hasn't Weird Al Yankovic released a karaoke album yet?
Weird Al Yankovic himself, as in him and or his record label, have not. However, other companies have licensed the ability to put out Weird Al karaoke albums. There's at least two or three of that I know. One that's a kind of a piece of crap, and others that were much better. So just go to
the one that's a piece of crap has all this applause in the background.
Yeah, it's
fake
like
applause.
The best example of why it's a crappy album is their version of Another One Rides the Bus, because besides having the continual crowd cheering noise that lasts at a consistent rate throughout the entire song, the music kicks on, and it's Queen's music for Another One Bites the Dust, which Al never recorded a version, or even performed live a version that I know of, of Another One Rides the Bus that actually was meant to sound like the full band. It was always, like in live shows today, it's just...
The accordion.
It's
and the drumming.
Yeah, Bermuda hitting the bass drum, and I think he might have a couple of horns that he squeaks, but and the classic version is just him smacking the accordion case. So the fact that the folks at this company, you know, we're paying attention that little to, you know, what Weird Al actually does in his songs. Plus, they had a bunch of, basically, it's like they took a bunch of songs they already had background tracks for by the real artists, and then said, oh, we can just repurpose this, put Al's lyrics to it, and release it as a Weird Al karaoke album. So they were all parodies that Al had done, but they didn't bother to try to make the new version match
Al's version, Al's or version. Even check his
yeah.
versions.
Because sometimes Al, you know, cut out, you know, whole verses or slightly, you know, altered the way songs were to make it faster and funnier or whatever. So, or then there were like horrible misspellings, like in The Saga Begins, they for Obi-Wan, it was spelled O-B-Y and then space and then J-U-A-N, like the name Juan. So.
And the sad thing is they made money off
yeah,
of it.
Yeah, and that crappy company was Sweet Georgia Brown, but I know that there's at least a couple other, you know, better companies that put out, you know, higher quality Weird Al karaoke CDs, so you can go find them.
I've heard people do Dare to Be Stupid, for instance, which yeah. is not a parody.
It's not on its own Weird Al full album, but there is a karaoke version of White and Nerdy out there, so that's the most recent Al song I know of that there's a karaoke version of.
Finally, what happened to MC Hawking?
I don't know. I really know next to nothing about him other than, you know, of what
then
it is.
Sounds like I'm yeah. Stephen Hawking.
Yeah, you know, what he/it is, and that there was, you know, he appeared on an MC Frontalot album. That's all I know about. So.
Okay. Your turn to read a comment.
All right. Arkle says, actually, bar one, there have been quite a few takes on the LMFAO song, including one about Pokemon that begins with the phrase, every day I'm catching them. I come across them on YouTube quite a bit. It's like I can't escape that song between that and commercials and even references on other podcasts I listen to like Citizen Radio. Because LMFAO and their hipster zombie brigade is just the kind of thing you expect to hear on a podcast about left-wing atheist vegan activism, right? Like the Vincent E.L. song says, every day I'm suffering.
Bar 1 Scorpio, are we going to read all these?
Yes.
Okay. Bar 1 Scorpio responds, at Arkle. Wow, so I just... So it's just I didn't notice it's being done to death. Ah, well, just goes to show that I ain't got what it takes to be part of the FOMP. So I'll just stick to my drawings, misspelled on purpose. It's an SNL reference. And exactly how many podcasts can you really wring out of veganism? Figure you'd dry out that well pretty quick.
And then Arkle says, bar one, diversity of topics.
Then bar one says, at Arkle, aha, say, do you think they'll read these last few replies? If they do, does that mean that we can start putting words into their mouth like in that one Worm Quartet TV's Kyle duet?
And then Arkle says, bar one, that would be cool, actually. If they do that, though, they should use the Daffy Duck voice for me, since that's my avatar of choice. No, really, I've been using the Daffy Duck as Green Lantern image as an avatar for going on 8 years. I'm thinking of getting a tattoo of the full image on my arm.
Shouldn't you be doing the Daffy Duck voice for the rest of this comment?
A few fans of my podcast tell me that's the image they think of when they think about me, even though I do have a picture of myself on my blog and several more on my Facebook. I lost like 100 pounds since the majority of these pics were taken, though. Maybe I should also update them. Tripping up and down.
There. There's your Daffy Duck obscure reference.
Number 11 says... Gah, when I was a kid, I never wanted to be anything when I grew up. That could lead into another story about why I hate creative writing exercises, but I'll spare you. Unrelated, I recently came across Professor Elemental. Do you know of him? He does some funny rap with a steampunk theme.
I have not heard of him.
Nor have I. Comments about episode number 59, which is the one I was...
Yes.
Not mostly
and I, and
not
I,
on.
And I'm pretty sure this holds the title for longest episode title. For us, Kyle and Luke talk about cartoons while Carrie has a baby. Wildcard says, this podcast has been out for more than 24 hours at the time of this post. Why can't I vote for I've Got a T-Rex Beatbox Mix on the Dementia Top 20 already? Because that would involve effort on people's behalf and none of us feel like doing anything.
Jared Ringgold says, I would watch the hell out of a live-action Jace and the Wheeled Warriors film, even if it starred Shia LaBeouf. I don't consider the beef a bad actor. He just happens to appear in what I consider to be bad films. Also, yes, I was being complimentary when I said you shit out artwork. It was a comment on your speed, not your quality. Yeah, I've seen you. What, at that one, like, Oak Brook or Oak Park festival you used to draw at? Oh my god.
He really
does shit out artwork.
It sucks that I don't have that gig anymore because I'm assuming that festival still exists, but...
You hated that festival.
Well, I hated it because they were only paying me $50 an hour, and, you know, And granted, it was for a span of 20 hours over 3 days. So even at $50 an hour, I'm still making a grand on the weekend. But I just felt like I was being taken advantage of because the guy sitting next to me, another caricature artist, you know, I timed him. Or actually, I think I had you help me time him once. He was drawing 4 people in 1 hour, maybe 5. And I was drawing at least 20, if not 23 to 24.
And you're getting paid the same amount.
Yeah, I'm getting paid the same amount. So the year after that, this one year, they just basically abandoned me. And I was, you know, nobody stopped to check in on me to see if I needed lunch, to see if I needed a bathroom break. So other than 1 7-minute break, I managed to get, you know, force myself into having by saying I have to go to the bathroom. So I basically, you know, went to a porta potty, went to the bathroom, and then just kind of stayed in there. Because it was within eyeshot of where I was drawing, you know, and then I came back and they screwed me over and basically stuck me there for, you know, 10 hours straight other than that one break. So when they called me back the next year, I basically complained to them about the situation. And then I complained to them about the fact that I'm doing I'm doing 4 times as much work as this other guy. And I'm only getting paid $50 an hour. So I basically said I wanted at least 75 to come back. And they said that they would get back to me, and then they never called me back again. And even in recent years, I've attempted to contact them, and they've basically blown me off and not returned any of my calls.
You hated it anyways.
I know, but...
give it up. So,
but keep in mind that back then, it was, you know, the mid-2000s, and, you know, the economy was booming. And now that the economy is shit, I could really use a gig like that, and who knows.
Yeah.
So, anyway, And yeah, I too would love to see a Jason the Wheeled Warriors film starring Shia LaBeouf or whoever. if Hollywood ever discovers that property and realizes they could turn it into something. See, that's the thing about the whole Michael Bay Ninja Turtles thing. It's like, why does Michael Bay need to do Ninja Turtles? Why couldn't Michael Bay take something that's a hell of a lot more obscure, like Jason the Wheeled Warriors, and do something with that? Because that way, if he changes it to however he feels like, nobody's going to give a shit, or at least,
yeah,
you know.
I never liked Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, so it doesn't matter to me either way. I'm not going to go to it.
Well, I there's been many different versions of the Turtles, and I've liked a great deal enough of them to, you know, think that it's bullshit, you know, that chances are it's going to be bullshit, whatever Michael Bay does. And the fact that Kevin Eastman and Peter Laird are seemingly coming out in support of it, you know, it's like, yeah, they don't control the property anymore, and they're telling the fans to calm down, but I'm assuming they're still making money and residuals off of it. So it's in their best interest for, you know, the Bay movies to be successful, because they're going to make money off of it, I assume.
Yeah, you know, in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah, anyway. All right, Arkel says, I don't care for Cars, the vehicles, or the Pixar movie. It's not a political thing, though. I just have no interest. I've never taken lessons, never driven, never owned a car. I'm a longtime supporter of public transportation. Of course, I have no love for NASCAR either, but then again, I'm not really a sports guy in general anymore. When I was younger, but my interests went off in a different direction in my early 20s. There you go.
That wasn't a burp loud enough for me to hit you. You know the audience clamors for it. Okay, Slightly D says, once again, congratulations, Carrie and Josh. Thanks, Slightly D. Kyle asked about there being enough stuff for people to collect Phantom of the Paradise. Strangely enough, there is. Check out phantomoftheparadise.ca. The soundtrack went gold in Canada, mostly from Winnipeggers who have an unusual fascination with the film. I couldn't tell you why. I've never seen it. Actually, Earl was the one who introduced me to the film.
Yeah, well...
I think I only watched it twice, but I do like it.
Yeah, it got brought up in this episode with Kyle and I talking about Ray TV and things, and yes. I had mentioned Ray's movie and Earl being in it because of his Phantom of the Paradise collection.
I think what attracted me to it was Jessica Harper's singing voice, as you Shock Treatment fans know, is an awesome singing voice.
Yep. So, Arkel says, because Phantom of the Paradise is awesome, and not just because it was actually the first and my best, and the best in my opinion, attempt to do a musical adaptation of the original Phantom of the Opera story, predating Andrew Lloyd Webber's by something like 10 years, if I remember right. The real question is, how is it I can love that movie so much and yet not own the DVD?
TV's Kyle says, Arkel, I have no interest in being an old man and floating my house away with balloons, but I like up anyways. Good point. I never saw Cars, so I can't comment on Cars.
Again, I won't go into the whole soapbox rant, but I just, you know, I think a lot of people who are on the liberally side of things unjustly shit on Cars because they know that, you know, right-wingers like Cars and like NASCAR and stuff. I mean, freaking Route 66 is awesome, you know, and, you know, when I was a kid, I played with Cars with my brother, like, you know, racing and jumping, and we loved Dukes of Hazzard and Cannonball Run and Smokey and the Bandit and all that kind of car racing type of stuff. I mean, anyway, so.
Sorry, my nipple's sweating.
That's okay. comments about episode number 60, live from Lombard. It's Alex Racy. Jared Ringgold says, Sherry O'Terry? Sherry O'Terry? I demand citations! I cannot recall one instance where your good friends at the Scope have lauded Ms. O'Terry. Personally, I skipped over most of her seasons. While I agree that SNL has been a recent uptick in quality, it is still rather hit and miss. I do agree with Carrie that Taryn Killam has been doing phenomenal work.
Actually, and, Moonbeam was the one who said that.
Yeah. He brought this up in the comments section of the most recent episode of The Scope, and I sent the Scope Show an email detailing the interaction that happened a few years ago when they reviewed Saturday Night Live in general, talking about how great Sherry O'Terry is, and I responded, and it was kind of a back and forth between Shane and I over the span of a couple of episodes. So hopefully, you know, Jared will get his... We'll get reminded, and maybe he'll remember a little bit of what it was that we were talking about.
Julie says, great improv skit at the very end of the episode. I don't even remember what...
She's talking about Let's Do Improv from the new Cirque du Soleil album.
Oh. In other words, the scripted sketch.
Yes, the scripted improv sketch. But, yes. So, oh, okay, now this is the part... I'm going to have to do editing in post, but that's okay because I've already done most of the hard part last night.
Pardon me.
That was a burp, but I can't hit you because you're a mother.
I'm a mother water?
You're a mother who has a child to care for. Okay, so we have 8 voice comments. 6 of them are from Draconis.
Literally?
Literally.
Wow.
So here we go. Oh, wait, I should probably turn this down in case it's too loud. All right, here we go. Comment number 1.
Hey, Luke and Terry. Hey, Luke, I'm wondering, when are you going to do a special on Stupid Cowboy Song Volume 1, Grandmother? You did one for the procrastinators, but not on this one yet. Later.
Well, I guess the answer to that is, first of all, we did record something the night after we recorded the sessions for the 2 albums. And I'm going to play that audio later on in the show. It is about 7 minutes long and features all of us, what we're in the recordings is. So you can enjoy that later on in the show. I have it on here if you want to hear it.
Maybe we can talk about that weekend in our...
As far as doing a full-blown one like we did last time, I don't know if the guys would be interested in doing that. Maybe they would. I'm not sure.
We can do a quick recap ourselves after News of the Stupid if you don't have anything else planned.
So at the very least, you'll hear that segment, and maybe we'll have more to say. So, all right, next comment.
Hey, Luke and Terry. Luke, I actually have an idea to blow some of the minds at the next con you go to. Either you or have someone you know dress up as a Klingon Jedi Knight. That'll really screw up the Star Wars and the Star Trek fans that fight each other. Later.
It's been done. I've seen people do it, so yeah, it's been done.
Hey, Luke and Carrie, or better yet, Luke, just to let you know, unfortunately, there's going to be another Bayformers coming out in 2014. Later.
Yes, we know. It was to be expected.
Greetings and salutations, Battle of Horde. This is your fellow demented DJ, Anthony A-Log Legato, host of A-Log on the Airwaves. I would like to say that it is my esteemed demented honor to congratulate Carrie Dalby, your co-host, for she had the most demented luck in having her baby boy, Alex, be born on a leap day. One question, though. How are they going to celebrate his birthday? Will it be on the 28th of February or the 1st of March? I do not know, but either way, congratulations to Carrie Dalby. Pregnancy is strange. We'll hopefully pop up out of the Whacked Out 5 sometime this month. Thank you, and don't forget to stay weird.
Thank you, Barry Hansen, for that comment.
Thanks, A-Log. Hey.
All right, there we go. It's paused.
Thanks, A-Log. I think when it's in my control, I'll probably err towards the side of February 28th. Because, A, that's when I went into labor, and B, I'm a February baby, C, it's in the same month as the actual birthday, so, but, I mean, you know, technically we can go either way anytime we feel like going, anytime we feel like it, and when he gets older, it'll be up to him. I'll figure things out as I go along. Being a leap day mom is a new thing for me.
Okay.
Hey, Luke. Thought you'd want to know to let Kyle know that he could find Moobeard on Yahoo. Well, on YouTube, sorry. Also, if Carrie's going to be out for a while, why don't you and Kyle do it and Kyle talk about tunes later?
Yeah, that's what we did.
Done.
We've been planning it for a very long time. So, yeah.
Hey, congratulations, Carrie, on your baby. Hope you recover completely and wish you could have gone to MarsCon with Luke. Luke, I'll send a couple of quote-unquote celebrity voice things for the Luke and Carrie Volume 2, the 2011 year's preview, later on today after I take a nap. Later.
Okay, so
thank you.
So then Draconis takes a nap, and then he calls back and leaves a message.
Well, looky here, boys and girls. It's Jack saying, pick up the new Luke and Carrie Best of 2011 CD. See you later.
Thanks, Jack.
Thank you, Jack Nicholson impression.
Carrie, this is Kyle Hudson. I wanted to congratulate you on the acquisition of your new sleep deprivation device. Seriously, congratulations. It's awesome that you're also able to stay home with him. Talk to you later. Bye.
Hey, Kyle. He slept the night last night, so he's not my sleep deprivation device. He's my unpleasant substance dispenser.
Well, there you go.
But thank you.
So that was comments. Yay! They were at the beginning of the show.
So now
there
that...
There was another comment from Blasted Bill that I didn't put in here because it had to do with, you know, if it aired before MarsCon, which it didn't, so.
So.
Yeah, take the thing out of your ear. Because it doesn't need to be there anymore.
Okay. Well, do you want to toss a bonus song in here, and then we'll start our usual segments after that?
Well, sure, yeah. Let's do the first song break here. And actually, it's the first break has a stand-up comedy piece and then a song. The song is an awesome piece of editing, featuring footage from the news, requested by Robert Monroe. The song is called "Will the Real Mitt Romney Please Stand Up?" But before that, you may recall way back, I did an episode talking about forensics, where I talked about I had to, you know, basically perform other people's stand-up comedy pieces because they wouldn't let me perform my own. So there were a couple of favorites of mine, both done by the same comedian named Richard Jenny, based on things he performed in an HBO comedy special and a Showtime comedy special. And I didn't have the actual original ones handy because they were on VHS tapes that were in the basement and I didn't have a VCR hooked up to my computer. Well, I was able to hook up a VCR to my computer, so I was able to capture both of those two specials on my computer in audio format so that I could, you know, then try to clean them up a little bit audio-wise and then put them in the episode. So the first thing we're going to hear is this classic piece of material by Richard Jenny, one of my all-time favorites, his piece called Love Songs. So here's that right here.
What a crowd. Yeah. We're going to be on TV.
What are you saying? What are you guys shouting on?
Free bird!
A free bird?
Free bird!
Suddenly, the crowd changed. They were happy they were happening, and then it was comedy of death. It began by shouting out weird shit that nobody paid any attention to. Soon they were an angry mob pounding him against a fence, ironically, that had his own name on it. What the hell are you people talking about? Screaming for music. I'm tired of music now, you know, because you break up with a girlfriend, you better turn your radio off. They have too many love songs. They got stations that play nothing but love songs. Can they write a song about something else beside that? You ever think about that? They have so many love songs, they can play them 24 hours. They never stop. It's so dreary. I mean, if you're in love, it's okay. But if not, you just have to listen to that guy's voice. You know, you hear him.
Love songs. Nothing but love songs. 24 relentless, gut-wrenching hours a day. Love songs. No rock. No jazz. Nothing but throw yourself off a goddamn cliff. Love songs.
24 hours a day. Love songs.
So sit back in your car. Relax. Close the garage door tightly. Slip slowly into unconsciousness as you listen to another love song.
Why do they have to make music that depresses people? Why don't they make good songs like I've been to the desert on a horse with no name? You know what I'm saying? That doesn't depress anybody because you're too busy going, why? Why would you do that? Come on, man. You're in the desert. You're not that busy. You had time to write a whole song. Name the goddamn horse. You know what I'm saying? Take a few minutes out of your day. I should be in the desert going, hey, you over there with the tail? But they won't put that on because they have to put on
love songs. 187 hours a day. Nothing but get in a bathtub and slit your wrists. Love songs. And now here they are singing You'll Never Get Her Back. From the album You Really Blew It This Time. A love song.
Why? Why? There's other music that people can sing. I went to see Christopher Cross in concert because somebody had to. And I sat there, me and Chris. And I wasn't depressed at all. I was amazed. Because he has a voice, you know, he's that from Arthur, remember the Arthur movie? Where you go, once in your life, you're fine. Except Chris has his own sound that's just, you know, once in your life, you're fine. Always sounds like he's driving by, doesn't he? Sounds like he's in his car. What the hell is that? But they won't put Chris on the radio. Why? Because they have to play
87 billion hours a day. Love songs. Nothing but take a handful of Valium and choke to death on your own vomit. Love songs. And now, here they are singing, You Caught Her in Bed with Your Own Brother. From the album, Damn, We Were Going to Be Married. A love song.
Why? They have other songs they can play, even if you want to be depressing. You could play Gordon Lightfoot, The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald. About a boat that went down. Any song can perk up the party, but when you need a good depressing number to clear the people out, own that record. When they start, put it on, everybody leaves. Just go. And a wave hit the boat and they all died like rats. And they lay there and their lungs filled with water. They all going, you know what, Rich, we're going to take off, man. Are you sure? Yeah, we're going to. And back on the shore, their wives had no insurance and their children turned to drugs and prostitution. Sure, you gotta go. Yeah, by the time we slash our wrists and burn the house down, the traffic's bad, you know. But no, they won't play that because they have to play love songs. Why? Come on, I don't mind getting a story with a song. Like Casey Kasem gives you a good little story. Casey's always, I'm Casey Kasem with American Top 40.
This next artist got his start when he was 14. His mother was a prostitute. His father had both his legs sheared off in a car accident. Here he is singing, "Daddy, don't you walk so fast." A love song. 29 and a half billion hours a day. Love songs.
I just think he ought to be honest with the American people and try to win as the real Mitt Romney.
Meet the real Mitt Romney.
Who is the real Romney?
No one really knows who the real Mitt Romney is.
He's an enigma, and he's a dad and a family man.
Who is the real Romney?
Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States.
Can I have your attention, please? Can I have your attention, please? Will the real Mitt Romney please stand up? I repeat, will the real Mitt Romney please stand up? We're going to have a problem here.
Y'all act like you haven't seen a Mormon before.
Jaws
down on the floor.
I'm not concerned about the very poor. Got it wrong. Sorry, that's not what I meant.
I want every American to be in the top 1%.
I'm really named a Willard. That's my first name.
I'm not looking for a colony on the moon, just for someone to blame.
I like being able to fire people.
I'm Newt Gingrich.
You're fired.
I'm Rick Santorum, and I'm fired.
Boom, boom, boom.
Conservative women.
Love Mitt Romney.
And I love cars. I love lakes.
I'm running for office, for Pete's sake.
With regards to abortion, pro-life, pro-choice.
I firmly believe in my own singing voice.
Four purple mountains, majesty, above the fruited plain.
Where are we at, John?
With regards to abortion, you can choose
your own adventure.
It's a Republican
dimension.
And I'm more concerned about the banks. They're unable to lend.
Corporations are people, my friend.
My dog is on the roof. My dog is on the roof.
Who let the dogs out? Who?
Understand, I'm an exception.
The Obama
contraception.
Not a vulture.
I'm an
eagle.
I'm going to get my lawn cut by illegals.
There will be an influx.
Hispanic voters in trucks.
Look, if you don't believe...
I'll tell you what. $10,000? Well, I made a lot of money.
Matter of factually.
So I drove a couple of Cadillacs, actually. I have emotion and passion.
That's a joke, for the record.
But if you want...
The soul of America.
Restored.
Come on board.
Take your
fair share and every
Mormon
raise your
underwear.
Sing the chorus.
Papa Bear.
I'm Mitt Romney, and I'm
the real Romney.
All the other
Mitt Romneys are just masturbating.
So would the real Mitt Romney please stand up? Please stand up. Please stand up.
I'm Mitt Romney, and I'm
the real Romney.
All the other
Mitt Romneys are just masturbating.
So would the real Mitt Romney please stand up? Please stand up. Please stand up.
Boom, boom, boom.
I'm Mitt Romney, and I'm
the real Romney.
All the other Mitt Romneys are just masturbating.
So would the real Mitt Romney please stand up? Please stand up. Please stand up.
I'm Mitt Romney, and I'm
the real Romney.
All the other Mitt Romneys are just masturbating.
So would the real Mitt Romney please stand up? Please stand up. Please stand up.
I decided that was a terrible song.
So we have now moved from Carrie's computer to the living room, so we're on the Zen player, just because it's more convenient at the moment.
And like the pot of the seemingly defunct Pot of Destiny, it's not a podcast unless I'm nursing.
I guess so.
We've had a long day of a lot of futility, it seems like. The whole trying to record a podcast around a baby's schedule seems like it's never going to work, and hopefully most of the future podcasts will be during times when Alex is being babysat by Daddy. So,
or if he's sleeping.
Yeah, but he doesn't sleep long enough for our podcast.
Well,
unless
yeah.
We record in the middle of the night and interrupt my sleep. I'm not supposed to let him sleep too long during the day, or else he won't, you know, eat enough, and then he won't sleep enough at night for Mommy.
Well, so this is, you know, or normally at the beginning of most podcasts, we have the "What have you been up to since last time?"
So we've essentially just started the podcast.
Well, we did comments first because they were way overdue, and there were many of them, so...
I thought I'd just add to the frustration by saying that.
Yes. So is there anything specific you want to report on since we last recorded Moonbeam, took off?
Oh, yeah. Well, first of all, I got to go out with your wife, and we went
and while Daddy was babysitting, because Alex can take breast milk via a bottle now, or he says he can, although he didn't do it very well for us, but I went out with Sarah to, and we, on a spur of a moment, ate at a restaurant in Lombard called New Orleans Kitchen, which was amazing. And then we went to the mall so I could buy nursing bras and nursing shirts. And Sarah bought a cow onesie for Alex, even though I told her not to. She wants Alex to be a happy cow. And the next day, which was Sunday, my dad showed up, so finally one of Alex's grandparents has met him, so that was fun, and
Alex has three
grandparents, yes. But only one of them has met him, but before that, none of them had met him, so we still got two grandma meetings to happen, my mom in Minnesota and Josh's mom in Arizona. And then my dad left on Monday, and then later on Monday, the lactation consultant came out because I was having pain, and I don't really want to go into my diagnosis because it's embarrassing, but you could figure it out if you really tried, because now I have to completely change my diet. I can't eat sugar, yeast, or cheese for at least the next 6 weeks. And that includes fruit, which is really counterintuitive when I'm nursing and trying to get all the good nutrients for my breast milk. I mean, I can have fruit maybe very occasionally, but not every day. And additionally, I have to, like, get psychotic about washing my hands and washing my sheets and my towels and my bras and sterilizing my breast pump parts after every use and sterilizing Alex's pacifiers after every use. And I have two prescriptions, and I have one for Alex, so life just kind of sucks because of a lactation-related diagnosis, but, I mean, I'm not going to say it sucks. I still want to cherish every moment with my beautiful newborn, who's already growing a lot.
He's 1 month old.
Tomorrow he's 1 month old. Today he's 4 weeks old.
Yes.
You're like, whatever.
Well, you know, by the time this podcast gets posted.
True.
So, but yeah.
I guess there's not too much else to report. Other than that, it's a big, you know, achievement to be able to leave the house every day. I continue to watch a lot more TV. I finished a whole season of Scrubs since, plus some since Alex was born.
Wow.
And I'm almost done with season one of 30 Rock, and I finished season three of Buffy the Vampire Slayer rewatch, and I don't know. I know you don't usually give the rundown of what you're watching, but you watch shit all the time, and I don't, so, or until recently.
Coincidentally, I think the last episode of Sarah Silverman's show I watched is the one where she was pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, there were a bunch of people vying to adopt her baby or something like that.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I should get through the rest of that before too long, but I just noticed when I was here yesterday.
Yeah, we still have a few left.
When I was here yesterday, I noticed that on her Roku, anyway, Netflix had season two of Archer finally, so I watched the first few episodes of that, so hopefully at home I could also get it on my Netflix.
And then as a result of Archer being the last thing I'd watched, I had watched on Netflix while I was gone at La Leche League last night, Then Josh was like, oh, Carrie was watching this show Archer. I've never heard of it. I'll watch episode one, season one. And then he watched like five episodes and now Josh loves Archer.
Yeah, I got into it way late. And I actually have it on my TiVo season pass. So I have season three on my TiVo, but I haven't watched it because I want to watch season two first.
That's a baby breathing.
Yeah, if you hear a breathing noise, that's the sound of Alex breathing.
Alex's nose being smushed against a gigantic boob.
So I spent pretty much all day yesterday here, and now all day today, being a companion.
Yeah, I kind of
called
Luke out of desperation because, you know, just when I was kind of getting a handle on things, then, you know, all this extra stuff gets thrown at me by this diagnosis, and I felt very despairing and panicky on Monday afternoon and evening, and when, you know, at Monday night, Luke agreed to show up Tuesday morning, which he did. It actually was morning, by the way.
Yes.
And he basically spent the entire day here yesterday.
When I got home, Sarah was just walking in the house.
And was she like, what the hell?
No, she knew I was over here. Or at least I'm pretty sure she knew I was over here.
Well, maybe because of the fact that I sent her a list of sugar-containing foods that I was suddenly trying to get rid of, including fruit, fresh fruit.
So I went over to Target yesterday for Carrie and purchased a bunch of items that she wanted me to purchase. So. Yeah.
Not particularly exciting. Have you been doing anything exciting?
Well, I can't... See, here's the thing. Because of... it's kind of a weird chain of events, but because of the work I had to do to create Bad Rapport Best of 2011, it kind of systematically put me behind on various podcasts, and I've been kind of getting caught up with them. And I'm actually caught up on most of them, except for Bad Rapport itself and Nerdist, which I stopped listening to when they hit the point where they started talking about the Walking Dead new season, because Sarah, for some reason, kind of lost her passion to watch The Walking Dead, or at least she didn't want to watch it while we were eating meals, which is when we usually watch TV. So it's like the entire 6-episode run of Walking Dead I hadn't seen but they were all on my TiVo. So I've been kind of egging her on, like, come on, I want to get through this because now I have like 13 episodes of Nerdist I'm behind on.
You're trying that hard to avoid spoilers.
Yeah, which is basically failed because I've already heard from, you know, about like, oh, this happened to this character, this happened to this character. It's like, well, fuck. But I might as well, I've already come this far with it. I might as well.
It's hard to hit you when I'm burping a baby.
Well, if you're burping a baby, then it's
ironic.
It's ironic that you are actively trying to get one male to burp.
I'm trying to elicit a burp from one while I hit the other one for burping.
Yeah. So apparently I missed the window on it being appropriate.
Or somehow my hitting his back, like, you know, by proxy caused you to burp.
So anyway, we finally got through the first couple episodes of that.
And then he farted.
But anyway, I haven't listened to... I'm halfway through the first episode we did of 2012 of Bad Rapport, and I do intend to get caught up on the rest. And actually, this time around, I'm going to be taking my notes for the next Best Of collection as I listen to them instead of re-listening to them later, which is how I got all behind on this stuff in the first place.
You won't get behind next time.
Yeah. So if I'm repeating myself, I apologize. But hopefully that will remedy itself in the next few weeks here. But anyway, so now that I'm, you know, on Sarah's health insurance, I decided to go see a dermatologist about... I had this kind of weird skin tab at the top of my left leg that had been annoying me, kind of, you know, growing more and more over the years, and, you know, there was no pigment in it, so there was no reason to believe that it was, you know, cancerous or anything was wrong with it, but it just kind of got to the point of being annoying, because it was just kind of like something I would start...
And it could get cancerous if it wasn't removed.
Yeah, so it was something that I would, like, kind of, I wouldn't realize it, but, you know, if I'm sitting there in pajamas or whatever,
you know, where it's easy to get to, you know, I'd start kind of like fidgeting with it with my fingers without even realizing I was doing that. So eventually I just hit the point where I'm like, okay, I got to get rid of this stupid thing. So I went to a dermatologist and got it lanced off or whatever. And then they sent it to, you know, a lab, and it came back saying that there was nothing wrong with it.
So your insurance paid for that, huh?
Apparently so. Well, there was a copay involved, but, you know.
Josh has some very visible things that could probably stand to be removed.
Yeah, so, I mean, you should look into that. But So, yeah, and then I also still been dealing with a few problem areas of, like, kind of, you know.
Each baby?
You know, itchiness or an eczema or, I don't know, something like that. So I got some creams to deal with that, so hopefully that will be a thing of the past before too long. You know, so yay.
So I'm like, I have a mystery diagnosis. And you're like, yeah, I have this icky skin tag and this eczema and this and that and the other thing.
Well, it's not like it's, you know, any huge deal to me. I mean, you know, anyway. So yeah, got my, me and Sarah got our taxes done a little bit earlier than usual, which is nice. But it's still, I don't know, I'm getting better over the years, but I still... just kind of as a remainder left over of the earlier part of my life, the thought of dealing with taxes just kind of puts me in this panicky mode, because it's like...
Did Sarah ever tell you how much money you spent on movies at the theater last year? She told me.
Well, how much was it? Or what, did she say it was specifically movies, or was it entertainment in general?
Specifically movies at the movie theater.
Okay, how much?
Just tickets alone.
Uh-huh.
$1,000.
Wow. So, so 1,000 divided by 52? Let me get out the calculator.
I think it was more than 52. I think she said saw like 100 movies. Because that does not count popcorn or anything.
All right, wait a minute. Okay, so 1,000 divided by how much is the average admission?
For you, I don't know, $10?
Well, it's usually either 8 or 10, depending on where you go.
So then put 9.
All right, 9 equals 111.
Yeah, she said it was 100 movies.
That has to include food, because there's no way, because 111 movies means I'm seeing 2 movies a week. But
she said
which
it
I don't...
was 100 ticket stubs. She would know. Well,
no. Wait. Okay, so 100, but she gives me her ticket stubs. So whenever she and I see a movie together, we put that on my taxes. So if it's 100 ticket stubs, all the time she and I see a film together... You know, okay. so a good...
But yours had to be way over 52.
Well, yeah, I mean, so let's say a third of those had to have been her. So that
probably
means...
Less, maybe a quarter.
So yeah, that's like maybe...
75 movies?
Yeah, that still seems a little high to me because, you know, sometimes I go for spans of, you know, 3 or 4 weeks where I don't see films at all, and then...
And then you'll see a couple in one day.
Yeah. You know, which I haven't done in a while. I mean, we need to see Hunger Games. We need to see... we saw
I'm
John
sorry,
Carter.
Maybe I wasn't supposed to tell you that, but I just thought...
That's fine. I mean, it's not a secret to the listeners of this podcast or the Fumpcast that Luke sees movies often. And I've said before that it became my new Friday ritual over the past year or so was... Yeah. I'm going to go see a movie every Friday afternoon in Gurnee to make sure I'm at work on time at Key Lime Cove. So, you know, to say that Luke saw... 52 movies last year is like, yes, that sounds right, and throw a few...
It was more than 52.
Well, I know. I'm saying that sounds right. I'm, you know, somewhere in the 70s seems a little high to me, but whatever. Anyway, we got off topic, but that's okay, because we didn't have a lot to talk about this week anyway. But anyway, yeah, so got the taxes done, but the thing with the taxes is, like, I just have this, it's kind of going back to that whole theme of being a fake adult. It's like, I just always think like, you know, no matter what I do, it's like, if I'm driving, even if I'm driving the speed limit and I pass a cop, I always feel like he's going to start following me. He's going to, you know, find something wrong. He'll find something that I'm doing wrong. You know, even though I'm driving the speed limit and my, you know, license plate tags are up to date and, you know, I have, you know, I'm not wanted you know, for robbing banks or anything. There's nothing, there's no reason for me to be hassled by the police, but I just kind of assume, like, they're going to, you know, he's going to follow me, he's going to pull me over for some reason, and I'm going to end up in jail or end up having to pay a huge ticket over a bunch of bullshit, you know.
Uncle Luke is crazy.
Paranoid. So basically, doing my taxes is kind of a form of that. It's like, even though, you know, I really don't, you know, I'm filing as a, you know, self-employed entertainer slash artist, and I'm doing things I know that I'm allowed to do, but I still kind of feel like, you know, that cliche in TV and movies where, like, you know, somebody gets rich and they buy a bunch of stuff, and then, like, something happens and they lose, you know, they lose their job or they lose their whatever in the movie, and then people just start showing up at their house and taking their stuff away. Mm-hmm. Like, when I was much younger, I actually lived in fear of that. I thought that if you got in trouble, like, if you got audited, you know, and the government said you owed them thousands of dollars, like, that they would come and they would take away my, you know, TV and my computer and my car and my video games and anything else that they thought was valuable to, like, pay back whatever. So it was like this irrational fear I had, you know, in my young adult life. And even though logically I know that's a bunch of bullshit, you know, part of me still kind of gets that panicky feeling when it comes to, it's time to do my taxes, oh no, I'm going to be in trouble.
I would say you should do one of three things as far as the fake adult thing goes.
Mm-hmm.
You should either get a real job, have a baby, or stop worrying about it and stop wanting to feel like a real adult and just embrace your kidness.
Well, I kind of feel like of those three, you know, get a job and having a kid, I can't do both. Or at least...
No, I didn't both. I said do one of these three things.
Well, choosing not to worry about things, I could do in conjunction with either of those other two options. I could just choose not to worry, which I would like to be able to do.
You are definitely an adult that likes babies, as yes. I've noticed. With Luke's short attention span, you would think he would get sick of holding my baby after a while, and he never seems to get sick of it. At least not while the baby's awake, and at least not while the baby's awake and not screaming.
Spent about 15 minutes trying to wake up the baby just before we started recording.
Hilarious.
And it was interesting.
Absolutely nothing that you did.
Because I don't want to hurt him, I don't want to freak him out, but it's just kind of like, how do you wake up a baby gently? And he just kind of kept being like, nope, I'm asleep, screw you, but...
Well, I told you to just, you know, shift his position a lot, and
yeah.
And what else did I say? I don't tickle him.
Yeah, I tried doing all that, and anyway. So, speaking of movies, The Muppets are on Blu-ray, which is awesome. Last week I came over to help out Carrie, and she let me use their PlayStation 3 to watch many of the Blu-ray features, which were super epic and cool, so I highly recommend it. I bought the version at Best Buy, which came with the collectible Muppets lunchbox. There's a version at Walmart that comes with four little finger puppets, which are cute, but I don't know, they didn't thrill me. However, at Target, if you get the Waka Waka value pack, which, by the way, is the DVD, the Blu-ray, the digital download, and the downloadable soundtrack, which is a good deal in and of itself, buy it at Target, you get an extra DVD that comes... with six episodes of the original Muppet Show from seasons 1, 2, and 3.
Three completely different packages for the three different stores, right? Is that what you're saying?
Basically, yeah.
That's some marketing genius on...
Yeah.
Oh my God, that's horribly evil.
Well, it's like, you know, which of those options do you prefer? Well, I already own seasons 1 through 3 of the Muppet Show on DVD, so I don't need that extra DVD thing. And the finger puppets didn't thrill me, so I'm like, all right, I'll go for the lunchbox because...
Yeah, but think about the, like, more money-having collectors that are like, holy crap, I gotta get all three, you know?
Well, I'm sure that they'd, like, buy all three and then distribute the extra copies of the actual movie to friends via gifting or something. So...
Maybe. Or they might just keep... Depends on the collector.
Well, yeah. I mean, none of them were really kind of like the kind of thing where you'd want to keep them in their packages, because you wouldn't really... Anyway. So, obviously, as you'd surmise, I highly recommend getting that. Carrie watched most of the features with me, and they were pretty awesome.
Yes.
So
the long version of the rap song in there is way better than the short version. I hate the short version, and yeah. I like the long version.
Yeah, they have the full length version of the Tex Richmond song, which doesn't have the annoying lyrics at the bottom of the screen, and is, you know, has an extra verse and a whole operetta aria in it that actually explains why Tex Richmond, you know, has this grudge against the Muppets after all these years.
More of a recitative than an aria.
Yeah, so,
recitative? I can never remember.
But the blooper reel is awesome, behind-the-scenes stuff is awesome. I haven't listened to the commentary track yet, because that involves watching the whole movie again, and, there's some intermission, wackiness that's on there that I haven't watched all of yet either. But anyway, Sarah and I are shopping for a new couch, possibly also a new love seat and a new mattress, but, you know, we've been going around in our spare time on Sundays hitting furniture stores trying to find a couch to replace the couch in her living room, which has been in her family for like 80 years, and she's finally hit the point where she realizes that
it's uncomfortable.
It's an uncomfortable couch, you know, but unfortunately her and I kind of have different feelings on what furniture should be like, or, yeah, you know.
You probably like the softness of this couch.
Yeah, I like softer, plushier, comfier things that you can just kind of melt into and fall asleep. But, you know, she likes things that are, you know, more firm and rigid and have, you know, back support.
Yeah.
Or whatever, for like sitting up or to help posture. So it's going to be interesting for us to figure out what kind of couch we're going to end up getting.
Can they make it work?
And
two different couch styles.
Sarah has been on my ass for literally months to buy new shoes.
Which she finally did. Are you wearing them today?
Yes, here are the new shoes.
Oh, that's ugly. I mean, cute.
Well, here's the thing. My typical shoe shopping experience is I go to the nearest Walmart or Target or something, you know, big mart store that has a section of shoes. I find some black tennis shoes that fit me that are comfortable, and, you know, that, but most important is they're cheap, because,
yes,
you know, because spending money on clothing is something I've never been a fan of.
Me,
you know, I just kind of, yeah, so
same.
I would always get, you know, the cheapest black tennis shoes, and they always had to be black because you may remember from podcasts past, I talked about that 4-H singing group I was in as a kid called Reach Out, where we, you know, sang all the songs from the musicals for old ladies and at county fairs and shit like that. And because of the way they did the thing, they wanted everyone to have these matching outfits, which were like, you know, they would special order everyone getting, you know, the Reach Out t-shirt for that year, and then we'd all wear like white shorts and then white matching tennis shoes. Like, they had to be all white tennis shoes. So because, you know, our family wasn't poor, but, you know, my mom and dad definitely tried to run a tight budget to the way we lived our lives so that we weren't spending money extra, needlessly spending extra money. That's the phrase I'm trying to say.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, when it came time to shop for shoes for school every year, my mom would say, well, we have to get all white tennis shoes because we're not going to buy an extra set of shoes just for you to wear at Reach Out. So,
I see.
So for like, you know, what would that be? Like third grade through, you know, probably early high school, every year, you know, when we would go shoe shopping, I would have to buy all white tennis shoes. And I grew, you know, to basically not be able to stand, you know, me wearing white shoes. So once I got old enough to start buying my own shoes, they were either brown and black or all black. Or actually, I went through a phase of getting Converse for a while because all my friends had Converse and I wanted to have Converse.
I remember you gave me some for Amidala.
Yeah, but realistically, Converse is kind of a shitty shoe, too. I mean, they're stylish and everything, but, you know, I wasn't a skater. I was just liking bright, colorful shoes.
Or was it Avril Dalla or something? What do we call them?
Yeah, Avril Dalla is what we called her for Raider Boy. So,
are you going to burp for the podcast? I usually can't get a burp out of him. Sometimes I get lucky and he burps really loud. It would be great timing if you would burp right now.
So Carrie pats a male with her hand in an event in the attempt to elicit a burp intentionally.
Rather than
the other way around, where a burp is made intentionally and then Carrie hits me with her hand as hard as possible. So
are you milk drunk?
That's what we call the circle of life.
Are you milk drunk?
Milk. It's so tasty.
So what happens if I put you over here?
So my most recent pair of black shoes, which, you know, were bought at some Mart type of store, that were super cheap, you know, I kind of, not that I did this intentionally, but I think I kind of went a lot longer than I usually do between pairs of shoes because they were getting pretty worn down on the bottom. There really wasn't any traction left. You know, during the few times it was cold and snowy outside, it was very hard for me to walk around without slipping. And I meant to buy new shoes before MarsCon, but I never got around to it. So, you know, finally having, you know, made, now that, you know, spring break is happening and I'm making a little bit more money, I was able to get caught up on my bills and stuff at home that I actually had, you know, an extra, like, you know, $53 in the bank. I'm like, all right, I'm going to go to, you know, at least the next notch up in it when it comes to shoes. I went to Payless at the mall and, you know, said, all right, I'll find myself a pair of shoes that's, you know, made of a little bit better stuff, some actual leather shoes.
And this segment is called Luke Goes On and On for 20 Minutes About Shoes That His Wife Won't Shut Up About.
Something like that. Well, anyway, the point is that I spent an exorbitant amount of time in Payless, like at least an hour, trying on shoes, and so I could, like, get down to, like, the four I liked the most, and then I narrowed it down to two, which was a pair of white shoes and a pair of black shoes. And the white ones seemed more comfortable for walking around day-to-day use. But, you know, again, they are white tennis shoes, but and I don't like white tennis shoes.
I do have to say, when you're wearing black jeans with a black t-shirt like you were wearing yesterday, don't wear the white tennis shoes, because that would be bad.
Yeah. So the black...
Today's fine, though. With your with your maroon Glockenspiel hero t-shirt.
Yeah, so, basically, I, you know, I was listening to the Mishki broadcast about, you know, The Godfather, and and just, like, walking around this store trying on, rotating and trying different pairs of shoes, because, you know, one pair was, like, $22, and the other pair was $30, and I was trying to decide which pair of shoes to get.
Are you not sufficiently entertained? I really should go wash my hands if you mind pausing it.
Sure. Hey, well, anyway, the long story short is I talked the guy into giving...
You want me to just listen from the bathroom?
No, just stay here for like two more seconds. I talked the guy into giving me a 10% discount so I could afford to buy both pairs of shoes, and now I have both pairs of shoes, one for day-to-day life and one for at cons and gigs. There, done talking about shoes now. So that'll end this segment, and then we'll play songs, and then we'll do the news of the stupid.
Okay.
So, before I stop recording, I should mention that this set of songs and the next set of songs I'm playing because Dr. Demento did his awesome hip-hop episode, which I'll talk more about later. But there's a whole bunch of songs he did not play that I was hoping he would play from the CDs I sent him. So I'm going to play them on this show because they're awesome. Please note that one of the three songs you're about to hear, you heard a cover version of on the episode where me and Kyle talked about Ray TV. You heard me and my friends doing a cover version, and here's the original version. That's the third song in this set. But first, we got an awesome song full of awesome rap facts by LL Cool J. So here we go.
Woke and he called the Pope. The Pope climbed to heaven on a golden rope. He asked the Lord to raise Michelangelo from the dead so he can make a fresh painting of my head. Then I hung out
with a king and a queen, and the queen put me down with a polo team. The way I scored points all around the clock, I had a daughter, the princess, riding my jock. I knocked the freak off like a crazy retard, then I took a little trip into a deck of cards. The diamond jack joker and the ace of spades was amazed at queen of cut creator on the fade. Then I played cards with the queen of clubs. The queen of hearts and me cold fell in love. As for the queen of diamonds, she don't like me, because you know that a diamond is a girl's best friend. The double trouble spade was named the deuce, and the joker acted stupid, so we gave him the news. There was 52 cards and I met everyone. That story is over, but my rhyme ain't done. Then I took a trip to the center of the earth. I was kinda scared, so E-Love went first. I met these funny looking people, they called them skeezers, so I held them to my wallet like Ebenezer. Tight leather pants that'll make you grunt, two nice soft things right up front. The center of the earth ain't got no crime, just people body rocking to the LL rhyme. If you're kinda confused with what a skeezer is, it's just a girl who's on my jock, cause I'm in showbiz. There was a whole lot of skeezers, I dogged everyone. That story is over, but my rhyme ain't done. Woke up late one afternoon, realized I was in the world of cartoons. He-Man told me he beat me up, because he thought that I looked like a Donald Duck. Then I hung out with Spider-Man, he told me he was gonna start a comic strip band. The Incredible Hulk was gonna play the drums, Charlie Brown grabbed the guitar and started to strum. Snoopy tried to rock on the microphone, but Tom and Jerry both said he should leave it alone. Then I hung out with Mickey Mouse, he had two freaks, so we went to his house. Mickey's freak was ugly, but mine was deaf, so I knocked it off until there wasn't none left. They were cartoon characters, I met everyone. That story is over, but my rhyme ain't done. Since I'm a good friend of Father Time, I'm not getting older as I say this rhyme. I was warm in the snow at the Alamo before Boo shot Lincoln. I stole the show. I was down with George at the Delaware, but I wore a Kango, not the fake white hair. Me and E-Love met Sitting Bull. We made a peace pipe, then we took a pull. Then he brought more leaves from a golden chest. You thought it was tobacco? The shit was cess. There was a lot of great men, and I met everyone. That story is over, but my rhyme ain't done. 11:33, I swear it's no sooner. I went inside my TV, I met the Honeymooners. Ralph wanted me to bust a couple of rhymes, but I had my eyes on Alice's behind. Norton came down right about that time, looking in the front so we could swine and dine. Then I said to myself, I should give him a taste. So I pulled the microphone out my black briefcase. Said it ain't Bob Cooper, Barry Manilow. Then I bought Norton's hat cause I forgot my cane. Ralph said, I got a scheme, let me get to it. Norton, my pal, I said, yo, don't even do it. They were all Honeymooners and I met everyone. That story is over, but my rhyme ain't done. Cause my tongue was sharp, I hit a note on a harpa, a harmonica, Veronica, I do my part. In a bedroom with leg room, I'm strong like a monsoon chilled in Maui Waui, and I carry my harpoon style. Island smiling, cause we got ill. Wrote my name on a rock at the top of the hill. I surfed all the waves, made love in caves, and I kicked the ill beast to make the natives rave. Now I wanna tell you what all this means. From Farmers Boulevard to St. Albans, Queens, there's a lyrical technician who came to play. Number one B-boy, LL Cool J. All of this is just a story that I made up. Deaf lines will say on time, I'll cut creators cuts. Some of it's fiction and some of it's fact. Not another common rap with a heavy drum track. A whole lot of rhymes and I wrote everyone. That story is over and my rhyme is done.
If I mention a third baseman's name, who did I say is playing third?
Third set.
Prime Minister.
If I mention a third baseman's name, who did I say is playing third?
Socks.
Yo, man, what's the matter with you?
I'll get it the next time. I mean,
Charlie! Beat the beat, the beats you beat!
The only thing hard is the smell of my feet.
So listen up, cause you might get dissed. Don't be the lizard or take a
chair.
Damn. Come on, man, yo. What's the beat?
I'm on the case, I'm in your face, I'll give you in your bottom back and face. Step up, suck up, I'm this man. Don't you know that?
I'm the man! I'm the man! I'm so bad, I should be detention! I'm the man!
Sleeping late.
They drink the drinks, the drinks they drink.
My money in the bank.
They cut their crack, they offer drugs. We don't do drugs, do you get off?
Meaning?
Point that's the beat. I'm on your case, I'm in your face. Make you and your brother back and play. Step up, sucker, understand. Don't you know that?
I'm the man, I'm bad. I'm so bad, I should be the dungeon.
Different way.
We like to be different, not cliche.
Well, they say rock and metal can never mix, but all of they can suck off.
Sexual organ located in the lower abdominal area.
No, man, it's dick.
Face.
Toilet paper.
Yo, watch the beat.
Yeah. I'm on your case, I'm in your face. Kick you in your butt, I'm back in place. Step on, sucker, understand. Don't you know that?
I'm the man. I'm the man. I'm bad. I'm so bad, I should be detention. I'm the man. Idiot!
I need more.
Joey Mel, the Mel, he Mel.
We are the kings and all shall hail.
We're like the dominant is forever, and we'll remain the hardest ever.
No, I'm so bad. It's a crime.
Head kick.
Not.
Not. And now it's time for.
By Devo Spice, visit DevoSpice.com, reported by the internet from all over the world, and submitted by fans like you.
Word.
I guess it's stupid to prove an innocent, cause it makes it so to me that you incriminate. Can we incarcerate?
This story is submitted by Tom Tip Elliott. Many states now have laws against texting while driving. Soon we may need to instate laws against texting while walking because of people like 44-year-old Bonnie Miller, who was texting while walking and fell off a pier into Lake Michigan in St. Joseph. She needed the help of bystanders, police, and Coast Guard officers to be fished out. Miller told police that she was texting at about 9:30 p.m. when she fell into the water, fully clothed, and had trouble treading water. Another woman jumped into the water to help her, and by the time police arrived in response to a 911 call, a man was in the water as well, holding onto a ladder on the side of the pier. Police threw Miller a rescue flotation disc attached to a rope and was able to pull her back to the pier with the rope. Both women and the man were pulled out of the water by officers. The St. Joseph Fire Department, Michigan State Police, and the United States Coast Guard assisted with the rescue effort. Yes, that's your taxpayer dollars at work.
In Colorado Springs, Colorado, an annual Easter egg hunt attended by hundreds of children has been canceled because of misbehavior last year. Not by the kids, mind you, but by the grown-ups. Too many parents determined to see their children get an egg jumped a rope marking the boundaries of the children-only hunt at Bancroft Park last year. The hunt was over in seconds to the consternation of eggless tots and the rules-abiding parents. There was no place to hide the plastic eggs, which were filled with donated candy or coupons redeemable at nearby businesses, so thousands of eggs were put in plain view on the grass. A bullhorn to start the event malfunctions, so Maisie Bauman, Master of Ceremonies, used a public address system that was hard to hear. Said Bauman of the incident, "So everybody thinks you said go, and everybody goes, and it's over in seconds. If one parent gets in there, other parents say, 'If one can get in, we all can get in,' and everybody goes." Parenting observers cite the incident that resulted in the cancellation as a prime example of so-called helicopter parents, those who hover over their children and are involved in every minute aspect of their children's lives to ensure that they don't fail, even at an Easter egg hunt. The parents of Colorado Springs are very psyched about next week's grade school soccer tournament, where all the parents will play in place of their children.
More trouble for kids in Aberdeen Township, New Jersey, where a New Jersey middle school principal has decided that enough is enough, and he is going to put his foot down and put a stop to the real problem that has infested the student body of his middle school, hugging. The district says Mattawan Aberdeen Middle School principal Tyler Blackmore made an announcement that its 900 students were in a no-hugging school following some incidents of unsuitable physical interactions. School Superintendent David Healy said the district has a responsibility to teach children about appropriate interactions. It is unfortunate that there are those who find purpose and humor in sensationalizing such a routine school-related issue at the expense and inconvenience of our children and our school community. The superintendent said he believes the principal acted responsibly in making the recent school announcement regarding hugging. Next up on their curriculum will be rules against empathy, tolerance, and thinking.
And finally, in more middle school blues news, the Department of Education in New York City recently issued a statement to educational companies that are requesting to make proposals to create tests used to measure students' progress in math, science, literacy, and social studies. The statement lists subjects to avoid in creating these tests that could, quote, evoke unpleasant emotions, unquote, in the students. What subjects do they say should be avoided? Abuse. Well, of course, yes. Terrorism. Again, understandable. Vermin. Okay, we're talking about New York here. I could see why that made the list. Aliens. What? Junk food. You've seen what's in their lunchboxes, right? And rounding out the list of subjects that could be potentially evoking unpleasant emotions, birthdays, holidays, and Halloween. Okay. Next year's list of unpleasant subjects to avoid will include happiness, unicorns, and free ice cream.
People are stupid, and once again, they have proven it.
Oh, and kittens! A big goddamn dump truck full of kittens!
This has been News of the Stupid.
Actually, before you walk outside, I want to share something with you, because I'm recording.
Okay.
So this has to do with MarsCon. We actually got a few people to show up to MarsCon who had never shown up to any of the, you know, greater dementia group stuff before. Some fans from the Pittsburgh area whose names were Chris, Whitney, and Chris, who were three out of five people from the Pittsburgh area who basically came to MarsCon because of us plugging it on Bad Rapport and the Fumpcast.
I remember seeing some of their signatures on that card.
Yes.
Thank you guys all for the card, by the way.
And they bought Bad Rapport 2010 and 2011 CDs, and Whitney gave us this.
Aww.
So. So this will be the image for this podcast. It is a drawing Whitney did of me and Carrie and Alex.
It's like anime style.
Yes, and it's very, very cute. So,
aww.
So I just wanted to share, you know, the cuteness and fan appreciation out there from Whitney and the Chris's from Pittsburgh.
Thank you.
So anyway, I'll go set this down and then we'll go for a walk. Because it's time to go for a walk with Alex and Carrie. Hey. Okay.
Test the waters here and see if I'm going to need a hoodie or not.
Okay. Testing the waters.
We'll be fine.
All right.
Like, don't you?
Well, yeah.
Shut that door.
I'll shut that door.
Check the knob.
Yep. Buffy just looking at me like, how come you get to go outside?
No, she's looking at you like, how come you didn't feed me? It is a little bit past their feeding time.
So another MarsCon thing that that we need to report on is the official sales report.
Yeah.
Because I've been intentionally not telling you so I could tell you on the podcast.
Okay.
So to recap, when we put out Bad Rapport Best of 2010, 2-CD set, you know, released it at MarsCon a year ago, we were all really psyched for it. We sold a total of 4 copies over the weekend.
Yes.
So, and I'm not even sure if that, I think there might have been only 2 physical CD copies at the con itself, and then people like between that point and the next.
I think it was 4 actual seats.
It was? Okay.
I'm pretty sure.
All right. Yeah, you're probably right then. So, anyway, after my obnoxious commercial that I put in the Luke Ski video concert, this year's sales were 9.
Oh, 9. That's almost double digits.
Yes. Well, that's it's double 4 plus 1. So, I consider that success.
Next year we're going to break double digits.
Yeah, plus the fact that this is this year's version as a 1 CD set, and I was only charging 10 for it versus the 15.
Have you ever seen My Baby in Sunlight?
Aw.
Sunlight. Yay. Well, we better put this up to protect your ears from the wind.
Aw. So, so, yeah.
Froggy. Little froggy.
So, yeah, Bad Rapport, best of 2011, is $9.99 plus shipping at Luke Ski's store on my website. Or you can download it, the MP3 version, for only $4.99. Best of 2010...
That's a deal.
Yeah. Best of 2010 is sold out for CD versions.
Kiddo.
All the gnomes are knocked down.
Oh no!
There was a gnome. There was a gnome battle, like in Romeo and Juliet, which I saw.
And you were the only one.
Hey, Sarah saw it with me.
A19.
But
I'm getting frustrated. I'm getting look at you holding your head up.
Aww.
Oh, there it goes, falling back.
So yeah, anyway, 2010 collection of 2 CDs is sold out, but you can still get the MP3 version for $9.99. So I figured $4.99 would be a good price for 2011 since it's, you know, 2010 was 2 discs, 2011 is 1 disc, so therefore cut the price in half, etc.
Baby's frustrated as hell.
Baby, baby, baby. So the only other thing that was MarsCon related is the whole boob tree card thing, but I'm not sure how we should handle that, because... Because
looking at them on the podcast would take too long.
And plus also Breakman Z videotaped everybody talking through their thing, and he was going to put them all up as individual videos on YouTube. So
Luke gave them to me, but I specifically didn't look at them yet because I kind of wanted someone who was there to be...
Yeah.
With me as I was looking at them.
Maybe we could, like, you know, turn off whatever recording device and, like, look through them. And if we get to ones that are particularly funny that we want to talk about, we could, you know, start recording and talk about them. And then I can put the images that we're talking about up on the website.
But at the rate this episode is going, probably should save it for next time.
Probably.
Because what time was it when we were starting? Like 12:31, and it is now 5.
Something like that.
And this is the post News of the Stupid segment, isn't it?
Yes.
So we haven't even done News of the Stupid at this point.
Yeah.
In other words, over half the podcast remains. You don't like fresh air? Or are you crashing out all the time?
So, I did have a random thought that I could share just because, you know, I had trouble coming up with content for this episode.
Should we go down there or should we just go back?
You can go down there. Okay. It's like, you know, well, I mean, this happens in real life, so it's not like just for in TV and movies. But, you know, back in the day when we were kids, especially like you're hanging around a pool party with a lot of adults, you know, your uncles and aunts or whatever, and like if somebody wants to be wild and wacky, they would just jump into a swimming pool or just jump into a lake, even if they were fully clothed. Uh-huh. They would just, or
yeah, that's always the,
yeah,
look at how crazy I am.
Yeah, or as a practical joke, they would, you know, push somebody in, you know, like, you know, hey, Uncle Tony, look out! You know, and so in the modern world, like that that either doesn't or shouldn't happen anymore. And the reason for that is cell phones.
True.
People, I mean, now, I mean, there was a time when cell phones, I guess they are pretty disposable, but most people in our, you know, circle of friends is either have iPhones or Droids or phones that are pretty darned expensive.
I actually know one person at my La Leche League meeting who only has a home phone and she's only 30 years old. That's kind of weird, isn't it?
Yeah. But just kind of like that whole, you know, American Pie Animal House, you know, idea of like, oh, everybody just randomly jump into the pool. It's like, you never see anyone in those scenes be like, oh, wait, here, let me take my $300 iPhone out of my pocket and set it down somewhere before I jump into the pool, you know, with reckless teenage abandon or whatever the hell. So,
actually,
you know.
Actually, that would make for a funny scene in a movie if someone just jumped in and someone else looked at him like he was crazy and then saw that he had his iPhone with them and then be like, wow, that's wacky.
Or it would be great if, like, there, like a comedy sketch, or this would probably work better in video format, if there was a guy who was like, hey, come on, everyone, let's jump in the pool, and everyone jumps in, and then when they get out, you know, there's like a dozen kids all realizing that their iPhones are ruined, and he's like, oh, really? I'm sorry. Well, I work at the Mac store. Here, take my business card, and I'll hook you up with all new phones at a discount price.
Or, like, they all ruin their Androids, and then he works
at
an
Apple
store.
That'd be good.
Yeah, that'd be kind of funny.
So,
we should write that sketch for Cirque du Soleil or something.
Yeah.
Ironically, this is a parody of a British song.
Yankee Bono. Yankee Bono.
Rotate. Hi, so we're recording a brief segment for Bad Rapport. Hi.
Hi.
Carrie's here.
Carrie's here. Who else is here? Introduce yourselves.
Ponies.
I'm also Ponies.
And who are you?
I'm the, I'm Super Horse.
And you are?
I'm another pony.
Okay.
Can we move any possible Super Horse reveals before this album?
Well, this, we're not gonna use this till after the album's been out for about a month at least, so.
Gotcha, I'm gonna get a shit.
So
right
welcome
now,
to the past, asked.
What about my ass?
It's Saturday, June 25th at 11:05 p.m. We wrapped up principal recording of the album, like within an hour. Like, it hasn't been too long, so.
Yeah, so it's all done, and there's nothing there's nothing left to do but hours and hours and hours and hours of editing if you're Super Horse.
Or Christmas.
You mean days and days of editing?
Yes. So, Carrie, what was it like for you being the newbie of the group, so to speak?
It was fun, and I recorded sketches that I wrote.
Yay!
And we had laughs, and I clicked on dollar signs a lot.
Kim.
Yes, sir.
We're in your house.
Yes, you are.
Sorry about that. What can we do to make it up to you?
Next time we'll do it at Chris's place.
Clean it?
Okay.
I'm getting you a
cake
pop.
I got you to shovel my driveway last time. Why don't you clean my house this time?
Clean the cat box if I hadn't already done it. Tell you what, I'll go put the turds back in the cat box.
Just don't put them in your mouth.
You were also on this album, damn it.
I was indeed.
You co-wrote a couple things this time.
I did!
Which things?
Say it.
Believe it or not, you're fucking a goat.
That was her right there. That chunk of that was her idea.
Wow.
I was being a dumbass, and he liked it. That's generally
awesome.
How it works.
That's awesome.
I am a dumbass, and then I be a dumbass, and then he takes it and he turns it into a partial eclipse, a Worm Quartet song, or Cirque du Soleil.
Well, that's how the album title came about.
You didn't become any Bald Box songs?
No.
Not yet.
Rob doesn't like me to play. With Bald Box.
Well, that's Rob's loss.
Well, I meant like something you did might have inspired something. Shoebox.
I can honestly not remember if I've done Bald Box
either,
or not.
I don't know.
All I know is that I can't handle USFNA anymore.
Oh, really?
It was a great song, and everybody loves it, but I've heard it so many times that
I love Just Fucking Hell out of it. Except they were wrong about Hawaii, but everything else they were right about.
Sarah technically probably wrote the line, I want a pony, but it was my dramatic interpretation of that line that I think adds to its gravitas.
And we're assuming that all these sketches are going to make the album without...
Well, they're either going to be on the album or on the bonus album, and if they're listening to Bad Rapport and didn't pre-order it and get the bonus album, what the hell is wrong with you?
Okay!
I believe Luke owned that line completely. Made it totally...
Yeah, I was crying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was a lot of crying going on.
Hysterical.
Much death of us.
Yeah.
With the 200 minutes of free prayer time, you also contributed a couple.
Oh, I did.
Because that kind of came from three. I was having IM conversations with Devo and with Kim at the same time.
Yeah.
And a bunch of bits from both of those conversations. We just basically we were going back and forth and stuff.
I remember that.
Two of the Ten Commandments.
That was a long time ago because that was not only at my old job but at the old office at my old job. So that was
officially back in the day.
That was like pre-2007. Mm-hmm. We moved. So that's when we started writing 200 minutes of free prayer time. So
my,
that
we've grown
ago.
Since then.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Now we're writing songs about fucking
actually,
goats.
Actually, you've shrunk. Sorry, you haven't.
No, I technically.
He's slim. It's just like shrunk, but horizontally.
You shrunk.
Indeed. Thank you.
So yeah. Well, I'm up for Mario Kart.
None of us are up for being entertaining anymore because we've been doing that all day.
Yeah. Yes.
So we should probably
wrap this up. Entertainmenting out.
Well, we fully stuffed ourselves at Dinosaur Barbecue once again, so
yes.
Hooray for that.
Epically. That was my first stuffing at Dinosaur Barbecue. It wasn't actually the greatest experience because my chicken was cold.
And called
Josh. Sorry, your chicken was cold.
Oh, wait.
On behalf of Rochester, what did you expect?
All right.
Why was your chicken cold? That makes no sense.
It was cold. It wasn't even lukewarm. It was cold. Like,
it wasn't
cold.
Lukewarm, because Luke didn't, like, pick it up in his armpit and say, there.
Yeah, you should have. You're sitting right next to me.
Yeah, what the hell?
Your armpit was right there.
Am I supposed to be in charge of the temperature of everybody's
yes.
food?
You fail a gallon.
It's named after you.
You fail
Did
at...
Did you say your armpit was right there?
Yes.
Yes.
I'm not participating, and I got my attention.
I was too busy spilling slippery substances all over the floor.
Oh,
super horse.
Super horse.
That's okay, bitches.
Well,
Super Horse killed me. I didn't get as much of a laugh out of the pony. I just like that it was in the list of foods.
Well, with ponies and horses, they are both stupid cowboy things.
Yes, they are.
So yes.
You can redo Happy Ranch intro. Put that on the bonus track.
All right. Well, we'll wrap this up for now. So thank you all. Talk to you later.
Thanks for nothing.
What?
Whoa. Yeah, that's it. Wait. Insult the people who give us money.
Well, that's what Fabulous is all about.
And don't forget to come to the newly revamped and updated, hint, hint, Cirque du Soleil website.
I think not. You want to do it? You can do it.
Oh, I tried. Me and WordPress don't get along.
LOL.
Because I'm stinky. Right.
Ruffle.
Okay, bye.
Boy.
So...
We should
anyway.
Write that sketch for Cirque du Soleil or something.
Yeah. Oh, Cirque du Soleil. That was the other thing because we got brought up earlier in comments. So
we were going to do the quick recap of the weekend in June.
So, you know, and I am going to edit in at some point the 7 minutes of audio we recorded the night when we finished, the night we wrapped the Stupid Cowboy Thing sessions. And the six of us were just, you know, hanging out being silly for about 7 minutes.
Yeah.
So we'll edit that into this podcast at some point.
Basically, I was pregnant for a week, but I didn't know it yet. You guys were there on Friday. I didn't get there till Saturday morning, so I can't comment on whatever happened on Friday, right?
Well, no, you and I came at the same time.
Oh, no. Yeah, I left early. I didn't arrive late. I'm thinking of Con on the Cob.
Yeah.
Okay, so me and Luke rode the same plane out to Buffalo, right?
Yes.
From
Chicago.
Yes.
And while we were on the plane, we wrote a sketch together known as Staying Fat.
Yes.
Because...
Which kind of became the early favorite amongst the group.
Yeah, I had a lot of...
Which is why it was the first fump we posted after the sessions.
I mean, I had maybe a few notes, or maybe I didn't have any notes. Maybe I just had it all in my head. But I'm like, you know, help me write this sketch, Luke, and we can write it together and try to make it funny. And so the entire sketch is written on the plane.
Yeah,
it's a tradition that Cirque du Soleil has to have at least one sketch written on a plane on the way to record.
Yes. And the last time around, pretty much everything Chris contributed in the writing sense came from that, including Tile Guy. So.
Yes.
So, yeah, so I'm not sure, you know, if, you know, the entire Cirque du Soleil what group intends to, you know, get together and discuss that weekend any more than we already have.
That's on the Fumpcast. And discuss your next get together.
Well, we're going to be at Deep South Con.
Oh, you bastards! Now you're really making me hurt to think that I'm probably not going, which I'm probably not doing.
Well, you know, I don't think we're going to record a new album there or anything, but you know, because
at least discuss your next album.
Yeah, Deep South Con is kind of like a bonus Mars Con in a way because. You know, we got Dr. Demento, we got the second annual Logan Awards hosted by Dr. Demento, and we got about a dozen acts. I just found out that they asked, or apparently Sea Monkey decided he was just going to attend, and then when Danny Burt found out he was going to attend, he asked if he wanted to do a booble set.
Oh, so, you're stabbing me in the heart.
So I don't want to speak for Danny Burt, but if you decided you were going to attend, you could let him know, I'd assume.
Now we're talking about our first Arizona trip with Alex to happen in June, which there's no way we're doing two trips with Alex in the same month.
Yeah. So, you know, anyway.
We need a grandma and grandbaby to meet. That's more important, unfortunately.
Yeah. So while I'm sure there will be much fun and frivolity, you know, between the, you know, 10 or so acts from the Fump that are all showing up to perform at Deep South Con, I doubt very much that the guys are going to feel like using that as an excuse to try to record another album's worth of material.
Yeah, that's probably not.
Because we haven't really written anything, so we're probably going to, you know.
Why is the mail on the ground?
I don't know.
Somebody's mail is on the ground, and I guess it's not my place to. It's not a real postcard.
So, anyway. Yeah, I'm assuming we're going to, you know, we are going to do more in the future, but we're going to wait and let us amass some more written material before we start figuring out when we're going to record another album. But, you know, if you listen to the episodes of the Fumpcast that feature Cirque du Soleil What, you know, that's where you find out a lot of the backstories and stuff that happened in the studio. So we may or may not do an official comprehensive report here on Bad Rapport. Basically, to make that happen, I'd have to talk to Chris, Devo, and Shoebox and find out if they were interested in doing such a thing.
Yeah.
Which they may or may not be, depending on their interest level and, you know, what they have going on in their lives.
So did we want to go on and continue talking about the weekend from our perspective?
Sure.
Okay, so we arrived in... Okay, sorry, I was just distracted. I thought my glass door on my front door was broken, and it was just a shadow from the flag.
Yeah.
So we arrived at the same time. Kim Christ came and picked us up from Buffalo, which is like an hour and a half away from Rochester, where they actually live, and drove us to Rochester. And then what? Let's see, somebody still wasn't there, Devo Spice?
Yeah, I think Devo was either showing up super late Friday or super early Saturday, something to that effect. Basically, we spent Friday setting up the equipment so that we were ready to record, so that we could start bright and early on Saturday. And I had gotten all of the scripts printed up, you know, into one big binder. Oh, okay.
It's kind of hot in here. It feels hot in here when you've just had a walk anyways.
So I again became the script monkey.
Well, yeah.
Chris,
good at that.
Yeah, Chris, of course, provided, you know, the recording equipment, or the main recording equipment. Shoebox provided the place to record, the accommodations. Oh, yeah, that was the other thing. I had to bring my microphone, my $300 high-quality recording microphone, with me on the trip.
Oh, didn't they give you shit at the airport?
Well, they...
At O'Hare?
It's like, yeah, at O'Hare, they, you know, I told them, oh, one, you know, there's a microphone in there. And, like, the guy took it out, and he basically kind of said, like, well, you know, can you turn this on and demonstrate it? It's like, you know, so what? I was supposed to bring my own XLR cables, mixer board, and a power source in order to... You know, and also, it's like, the amount of equipment I would have needed to bring just to prove that that was a working microphone renders it like a completely ridiculous thing for him to have asked me. But, you know,
it's a cute baby.
But I somehow got through okay anyway, so I think they just kind of waved one of those weird chemical things at it just to kind of see if anything weird happened, and nothing happened.
You see me wear a baby. You saw me wear Alex in that rainbow sling the last podcast.
Oh, okay.
Will you help me pick up the cat plate off the ground? It's not a really good idea for me to bend over wearing this. Especially not all the way to the ground.
So Friday night we kind of goofed around, and Saturday was basically...
It wasn't really even goofing, we were just kind of sitting around the table talking.
Yeah.
It was actually a little on the pleasantly boring side. didn't go anywhere or do anything that I recall.
Yeah, and I had arranged the scripts in order of which scripts needed... Specifically Carrie, but in general, you know, female voices.
Because I was leaving earlier than everybody else.
Yeah, because you were leaving, she was leaving on Sunday morning, so we knew that, we weren't sure how long it was going to take to record all the stuff, but we wanted to be on the safe side in case we were spanning the recording sessions from Saturday to Sunday. But as it turned out, we didn't need to worry about that too much because we got through all of the recording stuff on Saturday. I mean, in fact, hadn't we pretty much gotten through everything by the time we went to dinner at Dinosaur Barbecue? Or am I imagining things?
We still had a little bit left after that.
Yeah.
Yeah, we still had some stuff left.
So,
it wasn't exactly the rat party, but...
Yeah.
We had a lot done at that point, I think.
But yeah, it's like, you know... pretty much any of the best, like, moments of flubs or bloopers or whatever... You know, all got saved and ended up being the bonus tracks on Volume 1 and 2. Oh, yeah, that was the other aspect, is that we didn't know it was going to be two albums. We thought it was just going to be one throughout the entire process until we got home. And then after the fact, it was when Chris suggested, why don't we make this into a two-album set, which kind of made us have to rethink everything. And, you know, we managed to figure out, you know, a set list for each... or a track list for each collection that, you know, seemed good to us. Mm-hmm. Oddly enough, the stuff that I wrote pretty much all ended up on Volume 2. Right. And then actually there was a track. Is someone delivering a package to your house right now?
Oh, yay! It's my slipcovers, I bet. From my nursing home. Oh, hi. No, it's not a package.
I think somebody's about to try to sell something to Carrie. What we did, we teamed up with the data and all the mouth
and all the paper. No, I'm not interested.
Oh, well, it's not a subscription, so you don't have to worry about that. They made a couple of changes when I actually wrote the data for 3 months in a row.
I hate it when these guys come to my house.
I'm not trying to be a jerk, but I'm just really not interested. Right, I'm busy right now.
So you're not even interested in saving a little bit of money with the coupons, say $15 to $20.
I'm not a coupon person.
No. Well, now
you're
going to get started to save a lot of money.
Good
Lord. Sorry.
No.
Sorry.
And
bye.
I actually donated money from my college.
Look. Sorry. Kara attempts to get rid of the solicitor without being a jerk. I hope you said something hilarious while I was.
No, I was just saying quietly that I really hate it when guys like that come to my door.
Yeah, because I was already my door doesn't getting a no solicitor sign, and then I was thinking, I don't get solicitors that often.
Yeah, maybe me and Sarah should get one, because every so often, you know, somebody will come up to our door. The day Alex was born, it was like, Luke, get your butt to the hospital right now. I literally, it's like, I'm leaving, I open the door, I look out, two people with, you know, Jehovah's Witnesses with the Watchtower magazine are coming up my stairs, and, you know, they didn't even get to the knocking part. I open the door, boom, there they are, and I'm just, and it's like, wow, this sucks, but hey, I have the best excuse in the world, and
my best friend just had a baby, bye.
No, it's like, no, my best friend is about to have a baby, and I need to get to the hospital.
I didn't even have it yet.
Yeah, so.
That's even better.
But the best part was, because it was just before MarsCon, they handed me, like, their copy of The Watchtower, and the cover of it was a nuclear explosion that was, like, apocalypse in all big letter. I'm like, damn, this would be a great prop for opening ceremonies, but, you know, we ended up not using it, but.
Yeah.
Anyway, want me to shut that door, or?
Yeah, I suppose. It's not like any fresh air comes in there.
Anyway. So, we recorded many sketches, one of which Carrie had written a long time ago, and,
it wasn't super long, because Josh and I were the ones that came up with the idea together, and then I found out that, you know, me and Josh can't work together on creative projects very well, and I, you know, took away his right to be involved.
So, yeah, basically, she had this idea for a sketch called Anal Rape is in the Discussion Phase, which ended up being one of the bonus tracks on the Stupid Cowboy Thing Volume 1 CD, which you got with the pre-order. And it'll probably end up on Carrie's next album, I assume, whenever that comes out. You know, but but basically, I took her original script.
Probably won't put it on there.
Oh, okay.
People get so freaked out about rape jokes. Remember, they like totally flipped on Shoebox for having a rape bot joke in his Partial Eclipse.
Yeah, but I mean, the weird thing they freaked out about was like one of the clip art guys was, like, you know, slightly shaded darker gray, so they were trying to accuse Shoebox of making a racist joke, was just, like, seriously? You're reading Partial Eclipse, and you think that he's trying to work in racist humor. It's like, he gets these amorphous blob friggin', you know, clip art things, and he just has to work with them, you know? It's, I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway, so. But I see your point. But my point was just that I didn't do a major amount of tweaks to that sketch.
Can I go in the kitchen?
Sure. I can follow you into the kitchen. I thought you were going to set up in here, but...
Well, anyway. He just nursed. He doesn't need to nurse right now.
All right. So...
Still need to bathe him. I'm actively avoiding the terrifying prospect of bathing my newborn because... He freaks out so much when I bathe him, and he gets so cold, you know, because you have to use a certain temperature of water, and you can't actually put him in the water, and it's literally like, I hate nothing more. I'd rather go clean toilets at a fucking bus station than bathing my newborn. So.
Yeah.
So I haven't done it yet.
So.
Anyways.
Can you remember any specific moments that you thought, or I was going to say earlier,
Saturday?
Yeah, all of the wackiest blooper moments ended up being the bonus tracks, so, you know, if you have the albums, you've heard that.
I did record some stuff on my Android, one or two things, and I can't remember if I sent them to my YouTube account or not. I probably did, because I haven't figured out what else to do with the videos on my Android but put them on YouTube.
Well, You should check to see if there actually are.
The problem was that
when I was recording it, I think I was recording it upright, but it's supposed to be sideways, so it appears as sideways on YouTube.
Weird.
But I know I was recording Shoebox do a Shoebox-type rant at one point because it was hilarious.
But yeah, you know, we got through the majority of the sketches, then we went and had dinner at Dinosaur Barbecue once again, which was, you know, Carrie wasn't as thrilled with it as the rest of us are.
My
but...
chicken breast sandwich, the chicken was cold.
And and you
dry.
You said in the clip that we either have played or will play that I should have put those chicken breasts under my armpits to warm them up for you. Because it's my... Because, you know, the temperature of your meats is my responsibility, apparently. But surprising to us.
I should do something since I'm in here. I guess that's the reason why I came in here.
So surprising to us, we got through all of the material, you know, on Saturday. So Sunday morning after Carrie left to go to the Rochester airport for her return home, the rest of us got dressed up so that we could go take some photos to be used for the cover and such. And of course, like, you know, we decided, oh, let's all walk over to the park for the pictures we're going to take. And right when we got to the park, it started raining. So it just kind of sucked that I was wearing one of my nice shirts and we had made an effort to make ourselves look, you know, presentable for album cover shoots, and then it freaking rained on us. So, you know, if you look closely at those pictures, you can kind of tell, especially if you look at my hair, you know, that... You know, we had recently been rained on. But, you know, still, the pictures came out well.
Yeah.
I'm
coming right back.
Okay. Trying to think of other things I can say about that weekend. I guess if you guys have questions about that weekend, you know, submit them to us in the comments, even if they are specifically aimed at people, you know, like Devo and Chris and Shoebox. And
I remember Devo Spice was flirting with me.
Well, you know. Yeah. I'm not allowed to say things about Carrie that might imply that she's an attractive woman, you know, because then I'm, you know, immoral and a dirty old man or something. So. But yeah, questions. If you have questions about that weekend, even if they aren't aimed at Carrie or I, I'll see if I can get some answers out of Devo and Shoebox and Chris so that we can have covered that whole situation. See, the reason we did a big, long episode about Cirque du Soleil was because of our trip to KeyCon that we did shortly after the first album came out. So it was... you know, very convenient that all four of us were at this con all weekend where it was basically just the four of us hanging out with each other. We did a panel, you know, we did a performance, you know, we recorded the panel, so the you know, plus me and Chris did our own segment, so the fact that that ended up being a whole episode mostly devoted to that, and then the review of the Lost finale at the end of it, you know, was kind of, you know, a fortunate happenstance. So this time around, it's, you know, it would be, I'd have to, like, get all the guys to get together on Skype so that we can sit around and discuss the album, which we've pretty much already discussed in smaller bits on the Fumpcast every time we've appeared to promote a new track. And we're going to be posting another track to the Fump in a couple weeks. We need to decide which track that will be.
I went out to Steve's Sandbox with him. See, overall, you know, the things that stand out to me are things that had nothing to do with recording.
Yeah, and that's fine. You can...
God! Kim's apple pie. It gave me the highest blood sugar of my pregnancy. Of course, I didn't know I was pregnant. But, oh, God, it was good. Oh, my... It's the best apple pie I've ever tasted. Bar none.
And of course, hanging out with Steve Christ is always fun.
Yes.
He and I get along really well.
Did I say I went to the Sandbox with Shoebox?
No,
I meant to say Steve.
No, you said Steve.
Okay.
So, yeah.
He was showing me some bugs that were in there. And I really enjoyed Kim's cats.
Yes,
They have, I guess they're Kim and Shoebox's cats.
They have many cats, and they're all named after obscure keyboard characters.
All of them, or was it some of them?
All of them, I think. Okay. So yeah, again, if you've got questions, send them to us. We'll try to answer them for you.
I impressed you guys with my Harley Quinn.
Yes.
That's something actually regarding recording.
Yeah, and judging...
I refused to sleep anywhere but the guest room because I'm a diva, I guess.
Yes. I was happy to see on... Well, first of all, we should mention that on the Mad Music Dementia Top 20, 11 tracks from this new Cirque du Soleil album appeared on the Top 20 countdown, 10 of them being debuts. So I was happy to see that the post-MarsCon, you know, reaction to the new album, you know, was very positive. And you've mentioned the whole Harley Quinn voice. I'm happy that Ajax Toy Company ranked pretty high on that list.
Yeah.
Because I was worried that, I mean, because that's more of a cerebral piece than a laugh-out-loud piece,
yeah.
You know? It was obviously meant to be a follow-up to Mob Internship Program, so to speak. I'm happy that... I'm happy that Carrie did such a good job as Harley Quinn, and I'm happy that Chris finally recorded something that sounds more like Hyenas, because in the original takes, he just had this kind of low growling noise, which was my own fault for not being specific, you know, in my notes.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm like, no, they need to be laughing hyenas. That needs to be the joke, because that's what Harley Quinn has, is actual laughing hyenas that she walks around with. So, and I sent him a bunch of YouTube clips of hyenas laughing. So instead of sampling those, Chris just recorded himself going, oh, here comes Josh.
Josh is home.
Yay.
Yay.
So
he can comment on, no, he can't because he didn't.
So.
Because he wasn't there and...
So yeah, so please request your favorite tracks from Stupid Cowboy Thing Volume 2 Additional Squid for the Dr. Demento show at drmento.com/request, and also for the Mad Music Dementia Top 20 Revenge at madmusic.com. Yeah, so things
Hi.
And stuff.
Hi, Josh.
Here's Josh. Hey, Josh, what do you think of the new Cirque du Soleil album Stupid Cowboy Thing Volume 2 Additional Squid?
He didn't hear the whole thing. He heard part of it.
It's the best thing since having a baby.
Yay! So everyone out there should have a baby and then get the album and then do your own comparison. And then write us a 5-page paper and send it to Shoebox and he'll eat it.
Or you could just pay the $20 or whatever it is.
Yes. All right.
Bye.
Well, I guess I'll wrap up this segment and we'll put more music here and then we'll do the end of the show stuff, assuming we do that now, which we may or may not do.
Okay.
So here's more hip-hop music.
Over half shell, they're the heroes for. In this day and age, who could ask for more? The crime wave is high, with muggings mysterious. All police and detectives are furious, cause they can't find the source of this lethally evil force. This is serious, so give me a quarter. I was a witness, get me a reporter. Call April O'Neill in on this case. Hey, you better hurry up, there's no time to waste. We need help like quick on the double. Have pity on the city, man, it's in trouble. We need heroes like the Lone Ranger. When Tonto came pronto, when there was danger. They didn't say we'd be there in half an hour, cause they displayed turtle power. Now our ace reporter was hot on the trail, determined to put these crooks in jail. She spied the bad guys and saw what happened, but before she knew it, she fell in a trap and got caught. Yeah, she was all alone, with no friends and no phone. Now this was beyond her worst dreams, cause she was cornered by some wayward teens.
Bullets headed by Shredder, they were anything but good. Misguided, unloved, they call them the Foot. They can terrorize and be angry youth, and they'd mug the people who needed proof. Then from out of the dark came an awesome sound, shouted cowabunga as they hit the ground. From the field of weeds, the heroes rescued the flower, cause they possessed turtle power. Do you stand for what you believe in and find the strength to do what's right? That's turtle power. On a half shell, they're on a mission. When there's a battle, got the enemy wishing that they stayed at home instead of fighting. These ninja masters with moves like lightning, they were once normal, but now they're mutants. Splinter's the teacher, so they are the students. Leonardo, Michelangelo, and Donatello make up the team with one other fellow, Raphael. He's the leader of the group, transformed from the norm by the nuclear goo. Pizza's the food that's sure to please. These ninjas are into pepperoni and cheese. Back to the story, it's not hard to find. Ninjas not just of the body, but of the mind. Those were the words that the master instructed. But a letter from Shredder had Splinter abducted. That was the last straw, spring into action. Step on the Foot, now they're gonna lose traction. Now this is for real, so you fight for justice. Your shell is hard, so you shout, they can't dust us off like some old coffee table. Since you've been born, you've been willing and able to defeat the sneak, protect the weak, fight for rights and your freedom to speak. Now the villain is chilling, so you make a stand. Back to the wall, put your sword in your hand. Remember the words of your teacher, your master. Evil moves fast, but good moves faster than light. Shining for your illumination, good versus evil equals confrontation. So when you're in trouble, don't give in and go sour. Try to rely on your turtle power.
Gonna rock the town without being seen. Have you ever seen a turtle get down? Slamming and jamming to the new swing sound. Yeah, everybody let's move. Vanilla is filled with a new jack groove. Gonna rock and roll the place with the power of the ninja turtle bass. Iceman, you know I'm not playing. Devastate the show while the turtles are saying.
Ninja, ninja, rap. Ninja, ninja, rap. Ninja, ninja, rap. Go, 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 go. Go, ninja, go, ninja, go.
recording the end of the show now.
All right.
We still didn't record News of the Stupid, but that's okay. Okay.
Well, we have the new Chris thing. Oh,
okay.
Do you want to use the Chris thing or not?
Yeah, well, we'll put... I'm trying to be entertaining.
I have an instrumental. Do you want me to have us singing with the instrumental, or do you want to have Chris singing?
I do not want us to have us singing with the instrumental unless you want us to put it in our ears and actually hear the actual notes.
All right.
So we'll just let Chris sing it.
All right.
Take it away, Chris.
What's at the Fump?
What's at that Fump?
Something. Here, you read that, because that's what you usually read.
Right now at the Fump, you can download for free Kyle, Are You Ian? By Scooter Picnic, Mad Men World by Moneyshot Cosmonauts, Prometheus by Tom Smith, Corned Beef and Cabbage Flaccid Beats Dubstep Remix by Power Salad, Cirque du Soleil, Let's Do Improv, Ant-Man by Insane Ian, Shall We Slap a Slut for Speaking by Steve Goody, and Tantric Yoda by Ookla the Mock. inside joke.
So, all right, LukeSki.com store. You can get Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport, Best of 2011, CD or MP3. The CD is $9.99 plus shipping. The MP3 is $4.99. So you want to support us and the stuff we do, go buy that and everything. Also available, but not at LukeSki.com, would be Stupid Cowboy Thing Volume 2, Additional Squid. You can get that at BaconNipples.com, CircusOfWhat.net, or the Fump.com store. Also now available at the Fump.com store is Being Used By Me, the great Luke Ski.
Oh my god, so, I can't remember who said this. Byron or some... I'm not sure, but somebody said they really wanted a Bacon Nipples t-shirt where maybe the back said baconnipples.com and the front was just bacon over the nipple area of the shirt.
I didn't hear that. So. Like,
it was some fan that had this idea, I thought it was hilarious.
Considering how poorly the I Want Tile t-shirts sold, I don't know if...
Yeah, I suppose.
Well, I don't know. I guess we did sell some. I think we sold just enough to make us think, oh, we should buy another run, and then we bought another run, and those aren't selling. So it's like...
Isn't that what always happens?
It seems to be, yeah.
We need to do more limited edition things.
I still have 3 Grease Wars t-shirts left in baby doll girl sizes, so... Anyway, we sold one to Lindsay Smith of Girlfriend of Kyle fame, so that made me happy at MarsCon.
Yes.
To have one more Grease Wars shirt... be sold.
Of a fantastic artist in her own right fame.
Yes. Anyway, where was I? Dr. Demento show. Go to his show and listen to it because it's awesome. DrDemento.com. DrDemento.com. This past week's show was the hip-hop episode in which I contributed greatly to, and I'm assuming Devo and I are going to talk about it on the Fumpcast, I assume. Because he also contributed input to that show, but it is the most recent episode, currently up at drdemento.com. So please go check that out. It was awesome and fun, and he's going to be doing another episode on the theme of hip hop sometime down the road, and wants fan input on it. I'm certainly going to be sending him some as soon as I'm not spending all day hanging out at Carrie's house. So, yeah, artbylutsky.com. I'm available for parties and events. I'm already starting to get, you know, gigs for the summer and stuff. So if you're interested in booking me for your party, book me early. What shade of pink are you wearing?
I'm wearing a blue nursing tank.
Yay! Should we just discontinue what shade of pink is for the time being?
Fuck you.
Okay, I'm just saying because you no longer have the luxury of being able to wear whatever color you want. Because, you know, you have to wear whatever's the most convenient.
Bitch, please.
Dealing with the baby. So,
bitch, please.
All right, fine.
Fine. Here. I have to wear pink. I have to wear a shade of pink that I can describe for you. Fine. Okay. I'm wearing metallic shiny pink on my fucking headscarf, so fuck you.
She's wearing a scarfy thing, as she likes to call them. Anyway. All right, let's see if I can rifle through these ignorant stories quickly. I drew a girl named Megan, and Megan was spelled M-A-E-G-H-E-N.
That's retarded.
Megan.
I'm sorry. It's Leotarded.
Yes. A middle-aged woman came up to me and asked me to draw her as Steven Tyler. No, not Steven Tyler. Start again. A middle-aged woman came up to me and asked me to draw her as Jean Simmons from Kiss. Like, in the full-on Kiss makeup regalia, because her husband is a gigantic Kiss fan, especially Gene Simmons. So,
it's like, okay.
So, I delivered. I gave her the full-on Gene Simmons outfit with, you know, face, makeup, and full color, and, you know, she went apeshit for it. Her and her friends were a bit drunk, but they still enjoyed the work. I don't think I took a picture of it, but I probably should have.
Yeah, sounds like.
And, I'll just tell one more here. Okay, so drawing, I have a big line of people. I draw this one little boy. He wants to be Captain Jack Sparrow. I do him in black and white with a body. It's a $10 drawing. The entire time I'm drawing him, his father or guardian or whatever is on his cell phone. So I get done with the drawing and I hand it to the kid and I say to the father, like, it's $10. And he kind of does a little hand gesture like, yes, I heard you. I understand it's $10 for the drawing. I'll pay you as soon as I'm off the phone. So I continue drawing, you know, the next people in line, and I see the dad kind of drift over to where the dance party area is happening and sits down at a bench while his son is in the dance party, and I think some other woman was with them, you know. So, like, they have the... Oh, that was the other thing. As soon as I started... As soon as the guy got off the phone, instead of paying me, he then took his phone and took a photo of the caricature, and he hadn't paid me yet, and then they drifted over to the dance party. So, after I drew, like one or two other people, I walk over to the guy who was still sitting there, and I said, excuse me, sir, and he looks at me, and I'm like, yeah, it was $10 for the drawing. He's like, oh, yeah, I gotta go to an ATM, I'll get it to you, blah, 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 blah. So, I go back, continue drawing more people in my line. Now, the guy and the kid have disappeared, but the caricature I drew of the kid in its plastic bag is still sitting on that table. So, after, you know, enough time had passed that I kind of felt like, okay, you know, I assume they're around somewhere because they left their caricature here. I started, you know, when I had a little bit of a lull, I walked around looking for the guy in the arcade and didn't find him. So I'm like, okay, I'll grab the caricature, bring it over to my table so that when they come looking for it, they'll come find me, and that way I can get paid for this drawing. And they never came back. So, you know.
Sorry, I'm just trying to find some sort of confirmation that we're recording. It's starting to frustrate me. What the fuck, Reaper? I think we're recording, so keep talking, and okay. I'm listening.
So anyway, so the guy, you know, I did the artwork, he took a photo of it on his iPhone or whatever the fuck, and, you know, essentially got a copy of that artwork for free and never paid me. So he was, you know,
what a bitch.
A white douchebag father who, you know, got free artwork out of me because I'm too nice to, you know, I don't know. I
am seeing vague proof that we're recording. It's just not the usual form of proof.
Well, we already did the comments and voicemails, so we can just remind you that if you want to make a comment on this episode, in particular comments that are questions regarding the Cirque du Soleil stupid cowboy thing recording weekend we were talking about, you can leave messages at 916-585-3754. That's 916-LUKESKI, 916-585-3754. You can also leave an iTunes review, which I haven't checked at all because we've been too busy doing things, but I doubt that there are any. So if you leave one, I'll check it out for next time. So, so our outro track is going to be the second Richard Jenny track that I performed in Forensics, Eat Lunch Twice, that I titled it.
The ice cream truck!
It's an ice cream truck, OMGs. So I guess we're going to go get ice cream, maybe. Anyway, so that is the end of
maybe
this episode.
Maybe you guys are.
So, do you have anything else to say, Carrie?
I was just looking to see if I could see if we had any iTunes reviews.
Oh, all right. Carrie's going to look up to see if we have iTunes reviews. I'll try to think of something else to say.
No, I said really Luke and words. Carrie, not Luke Bryan. I specifically typed Luke and Carrie, pressed enter, and it corrected my typing to say Luke Bryan. Bitch.
Every time I used to type in bad rapport, Facebook would give me the Facebook, like on the suggested things I'm possibly looking for, a guy named Brad Rappaport.
Brad Rappaport.
Brad Rappaport.
let's see, next.
At the top, you can make change it to most recent. Oh. See, look there, most helpful, change it to most recent. Yep, that's one we've read already.
Okay.
So,
all right.
January.
So we are actually ending now.
Okay, this is the end of the show. I'm Luke.
I'm Carrie.
And this has been a show.
Luke and Carrie's Bad Report.
Thank you for listening.
Bye.
Bye.
You have any kids, lady? Me neither. People ask me, you have kids? And I go, oh, I don't even have real plants. Back off. You have kids? No. Some lady in the front last night had 11 kids. I go, 11? She goes, what's wrong with that? I go, well, nothing. If you're a salmon, chill out, lady. Have a... go to a movie. Relax a minute. I think if you have kids, though, don't buy them a TV. Because they always see parents on TV to make you look bad, you know? I used to watch the Brady Bunch on TV, and I used to say, man, why don't I live there? I mean, my parents weren't bad, right? But you look at the Brady Bunch, and you look at your own parents, and you look at the Brady Bunch, and even if you're not the brightest kid, you're gonna go, what am I doing with these losers? I wanna live in that Brady house. They had things in their house I never saw in my life. Things I never dreamed about. Breakfast, for example. No, I asked my mother, I said, Mom, they told me in school to get a hot breakfast. My mother, ha ha, hot breakfast. Swallow some water in the shower. And I'd sit there every day with my little chair, you know, I'd be sitting in front of my little chair all day with that Brady Bunch thing and the remote control, and I'd be sitting there like, wow, look at this house. This is amazing. I told my mother, I said, Mom, come over here. Come here for a minute. Sit down in this chair. Come here. Sit down. Look at that television. That's the Brady Bunch, Mom. That's America. Can we get with the program here? Notice a couple of things. Notice that they are managing to raise all these kids without beating the shit out of them every 5 minutes. They never even hit the kid on once. I never saw one episode. The mother wings a high heel at Greg's head. Look at that television, Mom. Take a look over there. 7 a.m, the whole house is awake on the Brady Bunch. And not only are they awake, they look damn good. That mother's got a ponytail and a sundress, basket of rose petals. She's skipping upstairs to wake the boy up. She opens the door, and even in his bed, he looks good. His hair's coiffed, his pajamas are pressed, there's no drool on his pillow. He's an American. And his mother comes in with rose petals like, it's morning, we're poaching, we're baking, we're frying, we're squeezing, goddammit, get off. But mother, I must brush my teeth. Oh, don't be foolish, you're a Brady, they're clean. Take my hand, come along. Sit down, son. There's eggs and juice and pork products of every kind. How come our house doesn't look like that, Mom? Let's face it, Mom. 7 a.m, this place is a Stephen King movie. Children of the Cornflakes. Every day I woke up in that house in New York, it was pitch black. 43 degrees. Bats hanging upside down. Curtains blowing out the window. My mother's down the hall. She ain't getting up. She's dead. Her door's bolted. Fog's coming out of it. And I still have nerve damage to this day. Because the first thing I heard in the morning was her screaming from her room to mine. You just hear, Richard! It's 11 o'clock! If you don't get up, you're gonna be late for you. Animals would be at the window going, do you guys call us? And then if you don't move, they keep telling you the time. It's 7:30. It's time to get up. And the sad thing is, you're in your bed just as stupid as she is. Not moving, going, I'm up. And the whole day, everybody's yelling, but nobody's going anywhere. On the Brady Bunch, they're out contributing to the economy. Here it is, just this interbed, demented howling going back. At 9 o'clock, I don't hear the water running in there. I'm be making shit up. I have a silencer on the faucet. If you had a job, you'd be awake. If I had a gun, you'd be dead. Shut up. It's 11 o'clock. Sometimes the entire day would go by with nobody moving. You would walk past the house and hear, it's midnight! And the neighbors would be downstairs in their pajamas. Get the fuck out of that bed. Left this morning, you idiots were yelling. But still, nobody moved. It's November! You missed another year of school! I'm coming in there! Well, I'm getting up now. And the reason I'm getting up is that you should put some makeup on before you bust into somebody's room at 7 o'clock in the morning. Put on some makeup! The Brady Bunch mother has makeup on. They're glad to see her when she walks in. She's got an outfit from Bloomingdale's, you know? Ponytail and a sundress. My mom used to walk in with an outfit from beyond the grave. She just had like a hooded robe and a sickle and just a... just kick the door open with a cold hoof. You'd be chalk white against your headboard. Mother! And a finger would come out.
Leave this place.
But Mom!
Get out.
I need 3 meals a day.
Eat lunch twice.
No. Why can't you put on some makeup before you come in? And then if I get around you, I have to walk all the way to school. We live in New York, if you don't notice. It's snowing out there sometimes. Why can't I get a lift to school? The Brady kid gets a lift. That father is up 7 in the morning. You ever see the father on the Brady Bunch?
Yeah.
What is it, 7? I think I'll put on my tux, donate to a charity, and drop you kids at school. 7 o'clock in the morning. My father didn't finish clearing phlegm until 11:30. I couldn't get near the guy. I'd be over there. I'd be with a trash cover. Hey, Pop, do you think you could... All right, back off, Dad. Just get away from the door. Cut it out. This is embarrassing. The dog's wearing a visor, for God's sake, Dad. And I'm in a horror movie. My mother's on one side. Father, I'm at the window. Help me! Help! Get me out! That's why I think you shouldn't buy a kid a television set.
You're listening to Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport.
Oh, I'm on a boat with a couple of wackos, shaking my hips and dipping my fat toe in the water. Dipping in the water. This party's getting hotter. It's so hot, it's stupid.
Leave comments for this episode at badrapport.com or call 916-LUKE-SKI.